The different voice? Okay. It is 8:32 on Tuesday, October 13th, and we will now begin our Golf Course Finance Committee meeting. I didn't bring the agenda. We'll remember it, though, from last time. It's the exact same agenda. But we may have a little bit of a different twist on it. If you remember, those of you who were here, we went through the document through the conclusion, recommendations and conclusions of our Golf Course Committee final document. We did it in pretty good detail. We made some. Oh, should we turn some time? Should we address this really quick while we can? Go ahead. I'll turn the time over to the mayor.
I'd like to welcome you all here. Some of you were here last week when there was some issue over cameras and filming people and things like that. So I just want to address this up front. I read that our city code, and it says that anyone can be thrown out of a meeting for disrupting a public meeting, and there's lots of reasons for doing that. However, Mr. Cromer has a right to be here to film. KSL would have a right to be here to film. The Daily Herald would have a right to be here to film as well. So there's a designated place for people to film. And so, Mr. Cromer, if you put your camera at the back of the room, that's where the designated spot is. But when you come to a public meeting, then you should anticipate the possibility of perhaps being filmed. If KSL were here or the Herald were here, you may end up on camera or in a newspaper as well. So I would just ask Mr. Cromer respectfully, if people don't want to be filmed, maybe pointed at the ceiling or something like that, and try and respect that. But he has a right to be here, and so anyone that would get in his face is probably more likely to be tossed than Mr. Cromer for standing there quietly. So I just want to say that, and then let's have a good meeting.
And I should say, as always, we should begin this meeting with our public comment portion of the meeting, where we'll take time, usually around 15 minutes or so, for anyone who would like to make a public comment can do that. We'll limit those comments to 3 minutes per person. I know that last week Mr. Cromer wanted to make a comment, but the meeting was closed before he had a chance. This would be a good time for him to do that if you would like, or anyone else. So I'll open up that portion of the meeting right now. Thank you, Lisa. Are we all satisfied? All right. Okay. I think we're good. Going. Do you want to take a minute now, or are you good?
The only thing I'd say is that you'll have an announcement tomorrow. This has been a hostile crowd. It's been very inappropriate what's going on here at this meeting.
And if you'd like to make a comment, you can come to the podium, state your name and address, and take 3 minutes. Okay, then you can move your camera to the back. Yes? Thank you, my friend. Okay, we're moving forward. As I said earlier, we went through the conclusions and the summary of the finance documents last week, and I guess as a committee, what we need to do now is decide how much of that we want to go over again tonight. It's been suggested that we might be able to get this meeting done at a reasonable hour, maybe even within an hour tonight, and I would like to see that take place. But we want to make sure that everyone has the time to fully understand what's in this document, because you will be voting on the document. So any suggestions? What you'd like to see?
Can I just make mention of how the document's structured so people understand it? So at the very beginning, there's just a one-page summary, just kind of highlights, if an individual doesn't want to read all 200 some odd pages and all they want is some bullet points, they can read the first page. I don't suggest that. I think that one should read the entire document to fully understand everything. The committee has gone over the documents that are in here. Some of these are memorandums from legal counsel. Some of these are just copies of CC&Rs, HOA documents.
Can we do this, Dave? Go through each of those without reading them and just say what each of them are in each place?
That's fine.
Why don't you go ahead and start?
So the first, there's a summary page. There's a page of table of contents. There's a table of the appendixes. in here. There's a page on who the committee members are. There's an executive summary. And then there's the options that Councilman Rob Crawley proposed verbatim as he proposed them. And then there's pages around the current financial situation of the golf course, along with the city's budget documents relating to that. Then there are a bunch of pages of legal review that the committee had under a closed door executive session. The attorneys weighing in on questions we had. So the questions are all there, who asked them, and what the answers are to those questions are all in here. Then there's a section on what we call the social contract, which basically deals with, I guess, the ethical issues around changing the golf course. And then there's a section on committee findings or recommendations or conclusions, I should say. And there's a section on actual recommendations. And then there's pages 45 through 234. They're all appendix documents of, like I said, CC&Rs and the bond and HOA documents and past memorandums from legal counsel from years ago to current legal counsel. So most of the documents in here, especially the legal documents, have never seen the light of day in the public. This is the first time. They'll be revealed out of a closed-door session when usually the city council meets with the attorneys for potential litigation. They usually keep that under wraps, but they're all provided here for the public to see, so people can read this document and come to their own consensus and conclusions as to whether the committee came to the right conclusion or not. So all the information we use to come to our conclusion is in here. So you can form your own personal committee if you want and go through it yourself. So that's
that help?
It does. Can we review some of the changes that were made from last week? Is that possible?
Yeah, there are only a few minor changes, and I got
because I saw a financial statement difference.
Mark. Mark gave me some language to add to the social contract area. We talked about that last meeting.
I think I gave you some as well.
And I believe you gave me a sentence or two.
I did.
In previous committee meetings, there was discussion around costs related to the Cedars HOA that they incur. That was added in here. I think that's all that's changed.
Should we read those?
Sure.
Because we didn't get them last week. Where are we at?
I would start with social contract.
And the executive summary is new as well, right?
Well, the summary page is also new.
So we'll read that as well.
That's a new report summary. Page 2 is brand new.
Okay, good.
That's brand new.
So where do you want to start?
Wherever the committee wants to start.
Well, let's start at the very beginning.
So report summary?
Yeah.
So I took the liberty of taking a position right off the bat, and if the committee wants to alter it, then we will and can. You want me to read this,
Paige? Yeah, please.
So report summary. This report recommends that the City Council not adopt option A or B proposed by Councilman Rob Crawley, which calls for the closure of the Cedar Hills Golf Course. This report provides extensive detail on the reasons which fall into the primary categories of financial risk, legal challenges, social and ethical implications. Some of the major facts. We would create legal risk with the golf bond, development agreement, conservation easement, City of Highland, CC&Rs, the Cedars HOA, Internal Revenue Service, and open space commitments. Selling St. Andrews and applying proceeds to the golf bond may bring Internal Revenue Service implications that must be overcome, which may necessitate funds to be held in escrow until the year 2023. Financial obligations lack substantive detail to be considered accurate. So financial projections we found to be lacking enough accuracy to make a judgment on. Park costs are not clearly defined. Legal expense is incalculable. It lacks costing for services, the Cedars funds, etc. It's not part of the proposal. Public comment encouraged keeping the golf course open and finding ways to improve its finances without closing it. Social and ethical implications with residents are significant, as the city would be reshaped by closing the golf course. Closing the course would create discord and reduce harmony amongst residents. The golf course financial picture has improved in recent years and trending in a positive direction. I just try to add a few highlights. If people didn't want to read the whole thing, that was some highlights. That's good. But people, different highlights if they want or disagree with the number.
Does anyone challenge those highlights of this report? Would like to see something different in them?
No.
I would definitely have highlighted a different set of points if it was me writing it. But I've also had a chance to air those through my flyer that I put out there, so I understand. And I just wanted to make that point.
And that's a good point. And I should say that a lot of this will air or will review, will, you know, it is a committee and a group.
Right.
And that's
right.
How that'll work.
I understand.
Okay.
That.
All right. Well, I think we'll go forward then as long as there's no objection to that page. All right. Executive summary.
Can I just make an observation? Did we just, as a committee, decide to accept that recommendation I just read?
We did.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well,
I mean,
nobody didn't vote.
Contested it.
Huh?
Nobody contested it.
We'll have votes more specific. The vote will encompass all of that. Right. I don't think I want to vote.
Not adopt this option A or B. So are we saying not to push for either?
We talked about that a little bit, and there are specifics about option A, as Mr. Crawley put it. I know that he, in my opinion, he was trying to articulate kind of a general option A, but there were specifics in there that perhaps not everyone on this committee would agree with.
Okay.
So, and Rob even pulled option A, right? The option A we evaluated as not.
Option A was just there to compare keeping the golf course or not keeping the golf course. Yeah. For instance, in the first version, it talked about selling St. Andrew's Estates. And that's kind of been the general plan for the city. You know, that's why we spent all that money on it. But I know that there's a lot of disagreement right now amongst people on the council and on this committee probably on whether we should even do that. So option A isn't something that was there other than just to compare against what I think would happen if we did keep the golf course.
So. And I think the only thing that put that in there was the fact that it included St. Andrews Estates. So we weren't ready to, at the time, because it changed in the second iteration, but it was there in the first one. But we'll have a chance to vote on an option A tonight. It's different than that option A.
And I would just point out the other change that is in here is Councilman Crawley changed options A and changed options B just prior to our last meeting. We never discussed his changes as an agenda item per se, but I included them. So there's really two versions of options A and B in here, and the committee only evaluated the ones that he originally proposed. But I included the one.
So both drafts are.
Both drafts are in here. His latest iteration of changes is in the back of the appendix, the very end.
Right. So just if I can make the point, the reason that was done is because I got a lot of good suggestions from this committee and from others about what would work better if we did pursue option B. So
I don't think anybody faults your adjustment.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah, I think I would just kind of second the point Aaron made. Minor, although. If option A is kind of a keep the golf course status quo, it seems a little odd to say. I don't know if we need to explain that better, but it seems a little odd to say neither option A or B if the impression is that option A is status quo.
Unless we're here to redefine option A a little bit.
Maybe, yeah. I say keep going and let's see what we think about that.
That's probably it. And my thought was just eliminate the language altogether of option A.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's in here as proposed, so that's why it was in his original plan.
Okay.
All right, where are we at? Executive summary, page
6.
That hasn't changed, I don't think.
Oh, that was the same. Okay,
good. I believe that's the same. As last time.
So we have some financial language, and we have.
I didn't add anything to that at all.
Okay. So what's next? Social, or are we at financial? I'm looking on here.
I will probably add today's committee meeting date on here, though, on that page.
Yes. Where's the financial summary? Is it in here? Am I looking at something wrong in the?
So the next section is the options as proposed by Councilman Crawley, and then on page 10 is where the financial review starts, and that's the same as last time.
Can you read page 12?
Yeah, page 12. There are some revisions from last meeting.
Should we read that?
Sure. Why does somebody else retake page 12?
Would you like me to do that on this one?
Sure.
Financial statements can be used to support both sides of the topic depending on one's point of view. Financials show the golf course subsidy has been going down each year, but they also show there is a subsidy. It is not the role of the committee to ascertain whether the subsidy is reasonable. Each resident has a different threshold on how much they're willing to support the golf course financially. However, in the process of evaluating the proposal developed by Councilman Crawley, the committee considered the tax burden of Cedar Hills in relation to other cities in the county. The information published in the State of the City Report 2014, this is the latest report available, shows that Cedar Hills is just slightly below the average of property tax per dollar per household. The average for the 20 cities in the analysis is $428 per year, and Cedar Hills is $427 per year. If you look at the property tax dollar per household as a percentage of median income, Cedar Hills ranks 14th out of 20. The reason the property tax burden on the residents was a consideration in the analysis the committee performed is that the committee wanted to evaluate Councilman Crawley's proposal in light of the current economic conditions in the city and the state. Because Councilman Crawley's proposal suggests such massive changes to the city, includes numerous undefined risks and would negatively impact a large number of city's residents, the committee's evaluation had to consider whether the ends justify the means. The ends, or ultimate objectives, of Councilman Crawley's proposal are not specific, but one of the ends is generally about having more park space. Although having more park space may be something we want, elimination of the golf course is not the only way or even the best way to achieve that goal. There are other more affordable and less controversial and disruptive means to add park space in the city. In 2015, the golf course had an estimated operational subsidy of $54,556, which is an improvement over the historical range. However, 2016 has budgeted subsidy of $540,000 due to in large measure to a one-time capital outlay of $380,000 for a maintenance building. Projected subsidies are conservatively budgeted to modestly increase. Revenues are also conservatively projected to remain essentially flat. This conservative budgeting approach minimizes the swings in financial forecasting that has occurred in years past. But opponents to the golf course use this approach to demonstrate that things are not improving financially. There are equipment replacement needs that may increase expenses in the next few years. Subsidies in recent years have begun to diminish. Increased revenue from the golf course and community event center can continue to reduce the subsidy if marketed well. Another viewpoint is a comparison on how much the city subsidizes an acre of park versus an acre of golf. For example, the estimated operational study for golf courses was $54,856 for the last fiscal year of the golf course 2015. The operational subsidy for all parks in 2015 was $149,449. An alternate way to look at the golf course finances is compared to parks. If you use 50 irrigated acres for the golf course versus 32.7 irrigated acres of parks, the subsidy is significantly lower for the golf course acres. For the fiscal year 2015, parks are anticipated to be subsidized $174,200. The golf course is expected to be subsidized $160,000, plus the construction of a maintenance building, which is budgeted at $300,000. We going still? I'll sing somebody else.
Somebody cost, else needs that. Behavior. Cost versus revenues is also yes.
March. For consistency, you got the maintenance budget. The maintenance shed is referred to once at $380.
Oh, I did. I saw that too.
Once at $300. So I
think it's $380, isn't it?
It's $380, right?
Yeah, it's a typo.
There's also an extra number in the.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. 54.
$390. Well, to be honest, the budget number right now as the end of the year was $300, but I changed in the projections $380 based on new information. So $380 is a better number.
$380 is a better number?
Okay.
All right.
We still have
you
new.
You might want to change the 54.5856
right.
In the middle.
Yeah. This paragraph, that number right there, has got an extra digit.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Which I got it.
Okay.
Good I enough. Will fix that.
And I'm curious about, it says for fiscal year 2015, parks are anticipated to be subsidized at $174,200. Since fiscal year 2015 is over, Is that talking about 2016 by chance?
Yes.
That is 2016?
Yep. So, it's, yeah, 2016 is estimated too, right? So, it's estimated 2016.
Instead of anticipated.
And Charles, on your schedule, it shows the property tax debt levy plus projected operational deficit of $849,970 for 2016. But on here, it's saying it's $174,200. I'm just wondering if we're including everything in that
$174,200. So they're talking about, this is where, they're talking about the operational and the capital improvements in this paragraph. They're not including the debt service, which I think you're...
So if
you'd like to add a line about the debt service.
Yeah, if you leave the debt service off too, I think that... I just think that you need to...
The debt service needs to be in there, I agree.
It does. Otherwise, we're leaving some of the costs off and acting like it's all the costs.
If we're going to add the maintenance, I'd rather see the subsidy, I'd rather see the debt service in there than the maintenance building that we may or may not get.
Right.
Because it is, that's not done deal. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's correct. It's not a done deal.
I don't even think the maintenance building should be in there. It could be a side note.
But it's been budgeted, so I think.
So it's budgeted.
It's in there
because
it's in the budget.
All right. Good enough. I like it.
All right. And I'm going to make a suggestion real quick.
Yeah.
I had hoped that we could get this beforehand so that we could have made some of these changes beforehand, but it might be a little bit hard to vote on this if we keep running into a lot of changes during this. We may want to get all the changes made, distribute it to the people beforehand so we can look at it.
There isn't much more to go, and I think if we just indicate each change that's going to be made, I feel comfortable with it.
Okay.
You okay with that? So we are agreed. We're going to add the bond.
Debt service.
And change a few typos, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
There's typos on this page.
Okay. Mm. I do have my breath and my confidence back. I could keep going, but does somebody else want to read the second page?
Go ahead, brother. My wife didn't bring
Costs versus revenues. Councilman Rob Crawley, in public and committee, quoted that the golf course has cost over $12,318,108 since its inception. The committee felt that this was an example of how numbers were used to support the options rather than an accurate financial picture. The cost versus revenues discussion can be explained. Quoting only the $12,318,108 as a cost to the residents implies the golf course's pressurized irrigation improvements, storm drain improvements, manicured open space, and the community center have no value or benefit to the community.
Can you stop?
Yeah.
If I said my house cost $200,000, would I be implying that it didn't have any value? I don't think I've ever implied that the golf course didn't have any value. So I take exception to that comment.
Well, except for it has value outside of golf. If you said that your house had no value as a community center.
I just would rather not be quoted saying or implying things that I haven't said or implied.
Well, let's try that again. If you say the golf course is a cost to the citizens of $12 million, but you don't include the other improvements to the golf course that are not golf course related, then you're overstating the cost of pure golf course, right? Someone's going to say the golf course cost me $12 million, but you're not saying the pressurized irrigation, the storm drains, other things are not included in that cost. Yes, no?
Well, we got a separate loan for a lot of the pressurized irrigation and the and things like that, didn't we, back then?
Some of it was included in the deal.
Okay, it sounds like I'm saying the golf course isn't worth anything, and I never once have implied that or said that. So I just don't like how it's worded.
It's implied by leaving out that it actually purchased these things when you said it cost the. When you said, hey, it cost this much, you never said, and this thing. You never.
It was, none of these
it
things
was
were included.
Kind of like thrown out there without an explanation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What if we clarified and said that you know, Councilman Crawley recognizes there's value to the golf course, however,
but his option B failed to include.
But however, pointing out some of the additional items and use this as maybe just identifying what some of those ideas are, instead of implying that he has ignored them or something.
Right. I mean, like if I said my house cost $200,000, but I didn't say the doors had value and the basement had value and the framing had value. You know what I'm saying? I never have once implied that it had no value. So I take exception to this.
I didn't write. I wrote this for something else, and it just got cut and pasted in here.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm not.
It was based on a flyer that there was just a couple numbers without. I didn't feel like enough information to explain it. Now on here, I don't think it's fair to word it that way because I was referring to a specific flyer.
But it is fair to point out that when you say that it cost $12 million, and you leave out all the other things that $12 million purchased as well, right? I mean, that's the point we're trying to make here, right?
So we can find a way to phrase this correctly, but I think this is relevant to keep these items in. In addition to that, there's roads that was paved. There was parking lot that was paved. There's other assets in addition to this that aren't mentioned. So I would add paved roads. I'd also add a parking lot as well.
Right. Do you want to add those, Dave? And then let's add some wording in here that recognizes that Councilman Crawley understands that there's more purchased with that $12 million than just the golf course.
We could say, aside from the cost, it is important to recognize.
Right. As long as it's not misquoting me like it currently is.
We don't want to misquote.
Yeah. I just like the idea, aside from this cost that is quoted, it is important to recognize these other values or assets, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. And then, Mayor, what other things are we missing? You see, you've got those down.
I just noticed that the road that came down here, that paved road, the parking lot that exists here, all of those things have benefits as well, and they shouldn't be forgotten as well.
Okay.
And also, what's that?
The Canyon Trail.
I don't know if that's what they're referring to on Canyon Trail.
Oh,
I know.
The trail that runs through the park.
No, I'm
just paying for that as well.
Highlands. That as well, but also the road that brings you down here as well.
Okay.
But
was that Highlands? So,
but I think it's important to say that the view you get from the trail is a benefit, is an asset to the city.
So Rob, why don't you come up with the language now, if possible, on what you think we got for the $12 million.
I would say Councilman Crawley stated that the city has spent $12,318,108 on golf course and golf course related assets.
And then not list all these other assets?
These assets include, and then include whatever you want, but I would include whatever assets you guys are comfortable including, but that's better wording, I think, than how it's worded.
Some of those assets aren't the golf course, though.
Mm-hmm. I think
if they're part of this number, like
Rob,
for instance,
can I ask this question of you then? Yeah. Because here's the deal. That number is used in Plan B as a number that says, we have wasted $12 million.
I never used that word.
I know, but that's the impression. That's what's implied.
That number's not in option B. It's in his flyer, and he stated it publicly in our committee meeting.
Right.
Which is why it's now part of the committee meeting, because he stated it in the committee meeting.
But that is the idea that says, this is how much the golf course has cost you.
Right.
Therefore, that's bad, right? I mean, that's it doesn't seem to be a neutral statement or an innocuous statement. It seems to be part of the argument for saying the golf course is bad.
I think Rob's statement is a good
fair?
One.
I mean,
it's just saying this is how much it cost.
Right.
I never have said we lost it all.
It's further clarification than we had from
Correct.
Before.
If you keep reading.
But, I mean, that's fine.
I could keep reading if it addresses some of this.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, and I was just going to say, Rick, I think it's important that as we go through this, if we are making changes, as Dave pointed out, Rob, let's make sure we're all in agreement on what has changed and actually somebody write it out and read it as to what's going back in the document, because if we're going
to
vote on this tonight, which I hope we are, I want to be in complete agreement so we don't have any ambiguity
so
later.
Who's describing?
Is that fair?
I am, because I'm going to edit the document.
Do you need some more paper?
I just need a pen. I just got
here. I've got a pen.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll just keep reading. Tell me when to stop.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, hey, will you restate? I think maybe he should restate.
Okay.
His
have him read it the way he wants it in there.
We could also record it
Okay, so from the beginning, I think it's fine how it says it at the top. Councilman Rob Crawley in public and committee quoted that the golf course has cost over I would just say $12,318,108 from inception until June 30th, 2014. Because if we're going to put that specific of a number, we better have a cutoff of when that's through. Because if we set it as of today, it'd be higher. The committee felt that this was an example of how numbers were used to support the options rather than an accurate financial picture. Is that how the committee feels? The committee feels like that's not an accurate number?
Okay. So let's go over some terminology here, because we all can be right depending on the word we use. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about cash flow, which most of the numbers were taken from cash flow statements, and it was tried to keep that format as cash flow. Uh-huh. And one of the things that, it's a philosophy, and you just have a different philosophy than me, and I don't know what everyone else's philosophy is, but when I think of cash flow, I think of actual cash flows. And when we had our first year, when someone, like if I go to Larry H. Miller and buy a car, there's no cash outflow for me if I get a loan. Right. The cash outflow happens when I make my monthly payments. And so when the course was improved, you show it as a cash outflow.
Right.
I don't show it as a cash outflow. I show the cash outflow as we make payments. So that's just a philosophy.
Yeah. At the same time, if somebody asks you how much your car cost you, you would cite the amount of the loan.
Yes, but if you're trying to make each year's statements comparable, you have to use kind of the same methodology, which is cash flow.
So you could say the committee felt that the loan, the current bond or the current loan, should not be included in that number.
No, it's included, but it's included as the payments as you go.
Right.
You
can state that.
Instead of all up front, and then also, anyways, Mark, so you had a comment.
I was going to ask, is that how the city does all its accounting then? Like, if the city built a building but bonded for it doesn't recognize any basis into that building at the beginning?
No, this isn't saying it's not recognizing a basis. This is just so if you're, there's a cash flow statement with every proprietary fund, and it shows operating cash flow, financing cash flow, investment cash flow. And that's where the numbers were come from. Now, we have different formats, revenue, and we have income statements. That's totally different. But what Rob was taking it from, his number is from the cash flow statement, but it's not including the bond proceeds, and it's not including impact fees. And that's fine, but that's a different philosophy than I have.
Yeah,
so
just the cash flow is also misleading, because it doesn't recognize the obligation the city has taken on to finish paying for what they paid for the golf course, which is over many years.
So
sorry. Gotta use
the
microphone or something before.
No, that's a totally different thing. That's your balance sheet. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have something in here about your balance sheet, that's on your balance sheet. That's your liability, and that's your assets. So you want to put your long-term assets on here on a page, and you want to put your liabilities, that's separate. That's not cash flow. And you're not going to understand that from cash flow. You're right.
Well, I think Rob's number is valuable, but it really needs to be broken up in two parts. One part is how much it costs us to buy the asset or improve the asset. And the remainder is how much it costs us to subsidize the operations over operating the asset. And that's where it comes from. And so that might clarify it. If we break out the two parts by the $12 million was got to,
that's what I was trying to do on the summary page. I mean, really.
So.
And really it's – and then just the timing of when you show the debt is the other issue.
Why don't we read the entire page and then discuss?
Okay. All right. Let's keep going.
Okay. Why don't we do that?
Yep.
Let's see here. I think I left off with it was stated. It was stated in committee that in the private accounting world, the full $12.3 million would be considered an expense. This is simply not true. In GAAP/private accounting, the full cost of the land, buildings, and infrastructure.
I don't think it ever stated it was thought of as an expense.
I never did.
So
this is not
again,
Rob Crawley
talking. I know Charles did not write this for the intent to go into this document. So that's where the problem is. this was just a casual email. He was trying to get a point across on things. And
yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
We're not talking about raw things right here. This is an explanation of how the accounting is approached in the city's budget. That's what we're talking about.
Right, but I'm saying that last statement that someone made a comment of the $12 million was expressed that in the private world it would be an expense. I never heard that. I
never said that.
We talked about that in the meeting. Private versus
That's the way I...
You may have to listen to the audio. I don't think I ever said that.
All right, well, this paragraph is troublesome, and we'll fix it.
Yes.
And infrastructure are not expensed in the year that they are purchased, but are capitalized as an asset instead. Land is not depreciated at all, and buildings are not depreciated on paper. To imply to residents that $12.3 million was spent on golf and lost... is terribly misleading.
I would agree if I said it was lost, it'd be misleading, but I don't think I ever said that word.
So. The replacement cost or market value of 165 acres of open space, the irrigation ponds, the storm drain improvements, and the building increases each year and easily exceeds what the city has invested so far. Did I miss a line in there?
Can I stop that for a second then? It sounds like we've got some differences, but there is something here that needs to be captured.
Well,
right?
The next line says the point is that the land has value.
It is the point. And I think what we need to recognize is that, okay, there may not be specific statements that are saying this $12 million is expensed, but we've had this conversation many times in committee where I believe I said specifically it isn't popsicles where it's all gone, right? It has not been adequately enumerated that, for instance, when you say we spent $12 million on the golf course, terms like that, if you get that and just throw that out to people, they go, man, we spent $12 million on the golf course. I think we don't need to address and say any individual said one thing, but I think you can say, you know, Councilman Crawley quoted $12 million. It must be understood that this is not a pure expense, that with this we bought land, we bought golf course improvements, we bought this, 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 and this. So to treat this as a complete expense and portray that to the public would be a mistake. Not saying that you have done that, but I will say this, just throwing the money out and saying it cost $12 million for a golf course and putting it out there, mm-hmm. most people would just say, man, and shut that down because it's costing us a lot of money. Do you agree?
I don't know what most people would say, but that is what it's cost us to buy the asset.
What most people say. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what it's cost us. We have an asset for it, but that is what it has cost us.
Hey, Rick, I get the asset part, I think, is the part that's been missing, right?
Rick, I
totally agree. We have an
idea. I get the impression that we're probably on the same page on this one. I'm not even sure we have to write it as Rob versus everyone else. I think we can probably figure out this language.
I don't think Rob's name even needs to be mentioned.
And probably just, you know, this is factual stuff here. We should be able to present it factually, not one plan versus the other. This part should be presented. Here's the factual past history of the golf course presented. And then people can apply it to the options as they see fit.
I agree. For instance, I don't know if you, do you address impact fees down here somewhere?
At all? No, this was just to the flyer.
Okay. So if you just want numbers and history of numbers, it's in the appendix, right? I mean, if you just want to go see what the numbers are. And that's
I think it's important to have some type of narrative, but I mean, I think it could be simplified. One suggestion we could do, I'll throw out, and I'll volunteer some people if they can... But if we broke this, if we took, and I'd be happy with maybe Charles, myself, maybe take Mark Webb if he'd be willing, maybe take a smaller group to try to work on putting the narrative and the numbers together where we could agree and then present them to the committee as being in the spot.
I would rather strike this whole page than do that.
Well, we could.
Be honest. To take another days and week to have another, let's write it up. I'd rather strike this whole page.
Is there any? No, I'm not opposed to that.
I'm good. I'm good with that.
Well
how,
good.
How
what if we just
voice of reason from the end?
When are we supposed to have this done by? Tonight?
We don't. There is no deadline, but we'd like to have it done by tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the work is essentially done.
So Mark, and I should all leave right now and.
No. No.
Well,
should we just strike
what if we
page?
Took it? What if we?
There's no consensus on the page anyway, right? So let's just strike it.
Well, maybe there is. What if we just took a different approach without reworking the numbers and just and just made a statement. Well, we could get rid of the first line, and if we address the number, well, we might have to address the number because it has been put out as the cost of the golf course, and just say, to be clear, that number has paid for the following assets.
Yeah. And then you could strike the rest. I don't care.
And make a list of the assets, because it's not just the golf holes. There are some other things.
Yeah.
What if we just did that for clarity?
Yeah, I like that. If you broke that $12 million down to what we paid for it, and then like Mark said, let's go ahead and list all the assets, all the things we gain as assets or value to the city. And then if you want to have the additional number of what it's, you know, what the operational subsidy has been over the years to tie to the $12 million, I think that would explain what the numbers are. And then, so, you know, people can interpret them as they see fit.
Yeah. And if we do that, we could only include half of this building, because that was assuming that half of the building was used for golf and half was used for city business and receptions. Otherwise, the number would be 13.6 million instead of 12.3. So, if you just have to make sure you say one half the building.
But for
for operational though, I think I said it was about 2.4 million over the. The life so far operationally, including capital leases for equipment. Is everyone okay with that number, about 200,000 a year? Was there anything that you think, and I didn't include something, I need to add that?
I would rather add the entire $13 million number and then just include the revenues from the Vista Room.
I'd rather strike the page altogether. At this point,
I think Mark is right. I think the to be clear statement isn't that difficult. To be clear, the $12.3 million or the $12.3 million figure is not all costs, but also includes list everything that it includes.
So we're talking like two paragraphs here.
Changing all this to one paragraph.
Striking everything after the replacement cost, essentially, right? That second paragraph.
Charles, is that right? Is that kind of what you're suggesting? And Mark?
Yeah. And then
how far did we get?
So
I don't know that we need to go through the
you might want to just accounting. Have one sentence that says the actual average operating subsidy has been $200,000 a year on average.
And that's in the last paragraph, so we can keep that sentence.
So we
down
can
there.
Keep a sentence like
could I don't know if we finished paragraph 3, maybe we did, but could we strike paragraph 3? The
sure.
Kind of the gap accounting issue?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Done. Everybody agree with that? Does anybody disagree?
Let's do paragraph 4 too. The city is paying. Let's strike that one.
Wait a sec.
Yeah, hold on.
We didn't read it yet.
So all the information on this page is relevant. Is it going to be reconciled somewhere else? Because if you're just going to stick with a number that says spent $12.3 million, but you're not recognizing on some other page that it bought assets, that's not a fair...
No, we're going to make that paragraph.
We are doing that. I just don't think we need to get bogged down in gap versus
private. This is what it cost, and these are the assets we purchased with that.
And we're doing that.
And what's in number 4?
And we're going to talk about the average subsidy, $200,000. That's all we're going to say here.
Can we add the impact fees to this discussion? So the 12 point... How much... Was it like $5 million? How much in impact fees are we talking about, Charles? Which are basically, as I understand them, fees paid by the contractor when they built the land, or when they earned the right to build on this land, they had to pay certain fees, right?
I think it was around 2.3, but that's related to. So if you want to talk about that was used for the building. So if we're going to mention, I think we're just going to break down what this money spent for and then show what the actual operating part cost was. And whether you have the impact fees in there, I don't think it matters if you just actually capture the operating subsidy and then say the rest was for buildings and improvements. But I don't.
The important point in my mind is that those $12 million was spent, but there's the acknowledgement that we got some assets and we list what those are. And then we talk about what the annual subsidy is. But I don't think we have to get bogged down in.
Okay, let's read the paragraph. Let's read the paragraph then on annual subsidy.
Okay, which one is that one?
Councilman Rob Crawley in public.
Last paragraph.
Okay. Did you read it? No, I just did. Do you want to read it again? See? Go ahead and read 4, the one above it.
Okay. The city is paying $5.8 million for the outstanding general obligation bonds. When used as a cost, this number implies that the city received nothing in exchange for the debt. There were infrastructure improvements and lots of improved acres of open space that were financed with this money. Even though most of the bond payments will most likely be financed with property taxes, that is not required. The land at St. Andrews could potentially offset some of those bond payments and countywide motor vehicle fees, which are allocated based on each governmental entity's property tax levy, covers about 10% of the bond payments.
Now, that's not a bad paragraph.
I would say it's a little bit bad because if I say that we bonded for $5.8 million, that doesn't imply that the city received nothing for it. I didn't ever imply that. When you go and get a bond for something, you're going to get something out of that.
We're not talking about what you said here. Again, this is just an explanation of how the city
when used
does
as a cost.
Oh, okay. When used as a cost.
Yeah.
I don't know who used that as just a cost instead of, well, I guess
many
it did
people.
Cost
it isn't just about you, right? There's a lot of people out there that say things, and that would be fair.
Okay, so the next paragraph. I guess we can just skip the first part, but in public and committee indicated that $578,461 or $346,461 of annual subsidies, which is misleading to state as annual subsidies. This statement implies that operational losses are greater than $200,000, which is based on the inclusion of the maintenance building and debt service. City accounting was simplified to only have one number for operations and one number for debt service. A new maintenance building is a long-term asset, not a debt, that provides value to the city and should be a separate line item. Instead of $578,461 being thrown out as the annual subsidy, it should be communicated to residents that the operational subsidy has averaged $200,000 a year and debt service is approximately $360,000 since it opened, and the city's staff has minimized the subsidy to under $100,000 the last 2 years. To be conservative, the city's finance department has included budgeted increases of approximately $12,000 a year to fund the replacement of all the various maintenance equipment over the next 8 to 10 years.
Cheryl, where did you get the $200,000 a year number?
I seem to recall that being quoted in the second week's financials, the second meeting's financials that you present to us. Yeah.
So on the summary page, if you look at all the cash flows, so I included all the operating cash flows, and then I adjusted it to add capital leases, and when I adjusted it, the number came to 2.4, and that's the operating. Now that includes no capital improvements. I think some of your numbers are including capital improvements, which I am not including in the operating, and I'm not including debt. So
does this match with the audited financial statements?
I'm taking these from the operating cash flows, and then I'm adding the capital leases because I believe that's a more proper way to show the operation, since right now we're in operational leases, and if you were just to play with it and just, you got to make years comparable, and so I was trying to make each year's comparable to include the same type of expenses. Right now all our operations include operating leases.
I just think you might run into a problem if it doesn't match the loss from operations on the audited financial statements. If you're saying
they're
loss from
actually
operations.
The numbers are higher because I included other adjustments, like we used to not have utility costs. We used to not have taxes that we have now. So the number is actually higher than it would have been.
Well, if I take – I have a schedule that I've kept with loss from operations for past years that I got from the audited financial statements.
Yeah.
And if I take the last 5 years through 2013 – I haven't updated for 2014. I don't know why I haven't updated it there. But if I take 2009 through 2013, the average is $328,000 loss from operations from the audited financial statements.
I think you're including the financing part again. I don't think you're including – I don't think you're separating the construction of things versus the actual operations.
I think I was just taking it right from higher. I think
no,
I was taking it right from
no,
the
you're not.
On the financials.
You're not. You're including okay. another section of the cash flow.
Oh, this loss from operations doesn't have anything to do with cash flow. Cash flow from operations is cash has something to do with the cash flow statement. Loss from operations is an income statement number, and that's a problem I've had long time with how we present things.
No. If you go back and you go to the presentation of the golf committee before, they went through each cash flow statement, and they were taking the actual section, operations. And I had Mark Webb review this.
Cash flow from operations you're talking about?
Cash flow from operations.
Okay.
And then that number is really low because it doesn't include capital leases for equipment.
That's right.
And so I added that to it, and I added the water utilities, and I added taxes. And so that number is actually higher than what you see in the operations. And that number comes up to $2.4 million.
But loss from operations and cash flow from operations are not only different numbers. They're from two different financial statements.
You're including in your losses capital improvements, which I'm not.
I'm just saying if we're calling it a loss from operations, which is an income statement official title of a number that's on the financial statements that are audited.
I'm not calling it a loss from operations. I'm calling it a cash flow. And you're saying, I'm
so
saying the
operating losses.
Operating subsidy is the.
Operating subsidy is what I'm saying. $200,000 a year is the operating subsidy.
Okay. If we change that to operational subsidy instead of operational losses, then we're being a little more accurate there. Because operational losses.
I think it's very conservative, to be honest.
It says operating subsidy.
It already says operating subsidy.
I'm looking at the third line down. Operational losses are greater than
the statement implies that operational losses.
We've got to be consistent.
Yeah. Okay. Change the word losses to subsidy on line 3 in the last paragraph.
Hey, Dave. Dave, is Charles' presentation from our second meeting in this document?
He only has part of it.
There's part of it.
I saw two spreadsheets I gave you.
And all the spreadsheets are in here.
Okay.
He's ever
they're in the back?
Committee. Yeah, they're in the appendix.
Okay. Yeah, as we go through this, just maybe clarify what's in the appendix so that we can maybe more quickly go through it. We already know that it's there.
Right.
Okay, so let's be clear. We're okay with paragraphs 4 and 5. We are not okay with paragraphs 1, 2, and we're striking paragraph 3.
Paragraphs 1 and 2 is going to be rewritten to talk about the cost and the assets.
And that is all.
That's all we're going to talk about.
Are we going to need to see that paragraph before we vote on this, or can we agree that we will not include a paragraph that is not approved by everyone on the committee? Rob, including you.
Yeah.
Is that scary?
There's so much to change here that it's just so hard to picture what it's going to be.
I would say that nothing on this page changes the overall recommendation that this committee is going to make.
Well, one question we are going to be voting on today, and it's key, is are the numbers in this report accurate? And we will not move on in any way, shape, or form until everybody here signs on to the fact that the numbers are accurate.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, it's going to happen.
I don't think it will.
No, because it also states that you don't have to approve of the recommendations to approve that the numbers are accurate. Rob, what do you think about that? Is it possible to approve the numbers in here as accurate without necessarily approving the recommendation of the city council?
I think having unanimous approval of all the numbers when I personally haven't had a chance to tie them to the audited financial statements and really research into them.
So are you
really
disputing
hard.
Charles right now? You have a problem with Charles' operational subsidy number?
I just haven't proved it out. I haven't looked and seen his calculations to get to the $200,000. It sounds like that's a round number anyway. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to sign off on that number today because
then we will not be voting on that today.
Okay.
I would say that this is this committee is not a unanimous voting
committee.
But if there is one thing I want this committee,
it's not going to happen. And we've never agreed on the numbers, ever, in years of trying. You just saw the dialogue and discussion back and forth right now, like whose number should we take or believe, right? I think Rob's number compared to Charles' number is maybe $100,000 difference. I don't think it's germane to the recommendation of whether or not we're going to approve options A or B or recommend options A or B to the council.
I'm going to agree. There's no way we're all going to agree with the recommendations, but I still believe that we can get to a point where we all agree with the numbers in the document.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Let me ask Charles and Rob a question, because I think the best numbers that we could use and say these are right, you know, we have audited financial statements for a reason. Are there numbers we can pull directly from our audited financial statements that could accurately portray the picture?
So,
do they all have to be adjusted because they're so summarized at such a high level? Because if we can get audited numbers,
so if you go to page, go to page 58, in the appendix, sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Up 235.
Okay, got it.
So.
Oh, 235? 58. Oh, I say 58.
And then if you go to an audited financial statement, you'll be able to find each of those numbers for operations collected, operations spent, net cash operations, principal paid on debt, interest, trustee. Now, when you're talking about the summary, that's on the next page, page 59. And what I did is you'll see the operational cash flow, and then to adjust for it, you have to go on page 58. There's a tax adjustment, a water allocation, and those numbers have adjusted the operational cash flow. And then there's another line item called debt transactions net of bond payments, and that line item is the other adjustment. So if you want to go to back to the financials and look at each one and see if that ties, that's how you're going to have to do it.
So this bottom line number here, Charles, is the city's operational loss for debt service. Is that correct? On page 58.
So on 58, that is...
The very bottom line is operational loss with debt service?
That is with none of the... That is just the operational cash flows without the financial proceeds or the impact fees. So if you add those in there, then yes. And if you total those, that's kind of matches Rob's number.
Charles?
Yes.
Question on those. So the numbers on 58 at the top, operations collected, operations spent, net cash operations, those are from the cash flow statement in the financials?
Yes, for those years that had cash flow statements. Now, the years where it switched to government, government fund is a cash
basis.
The timing of it's a little different, but eventually it's cash. There's no non-cash items.
Okay.
So if you just tie the revenues and expenditures, that is your actual cash outlay. So that's how it ties. And then, so you should be able to find those numbers. So we have it in detail, and then we had it a summary page to try to make it simpler, but you can just look at the detail if you want.
So all the numbers are in here, the audited numbers are in here, the projected numbers are in here from the city budget.
Are they audited?
We're debating over a number that says 200,000 versus the number that Rob would prefer to use. I mean, it's ultimately what we're going down to. I don't think it's going to take a lot of...
No, but it's something I feel it's important we're on board. I mean, someone may say to me, tell me about the finances of the golf course. And I may simplify it and say, quite simply, In 2015, the city spent about $55,000 on operational expenses of the golf course, and probably and to service the bond, average homeowners spent between $100 and $125 a year for the bond service. Now, you may say, hey, I don't like that. That seems pretty bare, and that may be what you may not like, but you could say it's accurate. And I think that's what we have here. Whatever we have here, you may not like the numbers that are chosen to be highlighted. You may want to paint a very negative picture and find numbers that paint your negative picture, and you may want to paint a positive picture and find those two. But whichever ones we choose, they better be right, and we better agree on them.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I would suggest that we don't use any unaudited numbers.
The problem we have, Rob, is that we have that same problem that people have complained about for years. You snow us with a million spreadsheets and numbers, and no one can make any sense of it. Mm-hmm. In this committee 2 years ago, we did the hard thing. We sat down, we beat heads, and we came up with simple numbers that anybody could understand. They were all accurate. There's no reason why we can't do that again.
Right. Well, and let me add, right, because this for Mark and Aaron, who weren't in this in the last round, we talked about quite a bit. What do we use? Do we use the income statement numbers, revenue expenses, where you've got accruals and you've got things that may look higher or lower in a given year, or do we use cash? We ended up deciding to look at cash, to give the residents a cash view. Here's the money that's going out. Here's the money that's coming in. And we looked at all of it. We looked at operational. We looked at interest payments. We looked at debt service, right, paying down the debt. We added it all up and said, okay, if you want to talk about how much money is going out on an annual basis, that's what we did. I know part of what Charlotte's trying to get to is trying to help us be comparable to the work we did back then, and it was cash-oriented.
Right.
And I think, obviously I haven't sat down and tied these out to the financials either, but I'm trying to map a few of these back to the old numbers, and they do match.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they all come from the audited source documents. It's just in trying to get to comparability when we've had some changes in accounting.
Right, it's hard.
For instance,
we spent $100,000 this year on equipment. That's not it. We're only including a small portion of that through depreciation this year if we're on a cash basis, whereas in previous years we had included that whole portion because we're now going through the motor pool fund on that. So that $54,000 really doesn't include maybe $80,000 or $90,000 of that cash outflow.
I would say cash flow to the fund, it does. Uh-huh. That cash flow, that fund was charged $7,000,
right.
And that's the cash flow impact to that fund.
Right.
And if you went back and did an at-large payment, then that's not very comparable because then you go back to the other years and when they had – if you're trying to do a year-to-year comparison and see if there's an improvement – you'd have 1 year where they spent $400,000, 1 year they didn't spend anything.
Right.
1 year they spent $200,000, one year they didn't spend anything.
But it's accurate about how much we spent that year, and that's what I've tried to capture.
No, but you have to do what the fund had to spend that year. Because
the danger is we could make the prior years where we had capital leases instead of motor pool fund, we had spread out over time because we paid over time.
Mm-hmm.
And now the motor pool fund actually saves us money in interest,
right,
because we kind of do it between funds, between friends, between funds. So to make it comparable to a previous capital lease, do you take the amount you're paying on an annual basis, or is it fair to say, otherwise we would have to go back and say, well, the capital lease is really an outlay of
$100,000. Yeah.
Right. So the way I do it is I look at the money that actually was written out in a check for the year, because that actually is what ends up having to be pulled from other funds.
That doesn't tie to the statements in earlier years.
No. That's
Then you got it totally. Nothing ties to the statements.
Well, that's, I agree with Rob Crowley here. That's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
Which is we have some of these items like motor pool fund.
Yeah.
That's a different treatment. We're accomplishing the same goal. Let's not get wrapped around the axle too much on the accounting treatment, because for this fund, the outlay really is reflective of what might have been a capital lease previously.
Yeah.
If we take the annual component of the motor pool payment, it gives us a fairly reasonable picture with respect to equipment.
Can we do a survey of our financial experts on this committee and see how they feel, whether it's fair or not fair to treat this capital, to treat it this way? Do you feel like it's unfair, Mark, to treat to take the $100,000, where in the past we had a capital lease, and so we just made lease payments? In this way, we saved the city a bunch of money by using a different fund to buy all the carts outright, and then we will have a separate fund that we pay ourselves back.
It charges.
We basically
charges
gave this,
the golf fund
over time.
Yeah, we gave ourselves a loan. We're paying it back over time with no interest, right? So we've saved the city a bunch of interest. Otherwise, if we try to jimmy the numbers and make them look good, we could never have done that and got a capital lease, and it would have just made the golf course look better. But it would have been bad for us all as a city.
I think either way is fine. Either way needs a couple of notes to it. I mean, right. I'm fine if, like Mark's saying, it's on a cash basis. But the note to that one is, here's the obligations out into the future that the city's obligated to in future payments in addition to the cash payments it's already done. Or if you go the other way, you make the notes we talked about before of, here's what we've already paid for, and here's, well, either way, you'd want to show what we've paid for, because we have those assets regardless of whether we do it either way. But
all right, can we say this?
It can be done either way, and I think a smaller committee could probably put their heads together.
The page entitled Costs versus Revenues has to be completely redone. As painful as that is, it has to happen.
I think so.
Anybody second that?
Yeah. I'll second.
All right, vote yes.
I think we should strike the page altogether.
I think this is the core.
Got it.
Dave, I wish we could, but I think this is the core. One of the cores of what we're doing here is to provide numbers. I for myself, I would be happy to get rid of that $12 million figure altogether and just look at yearly outlay for the golf course. Try to stop.
That's already in the document. It's in the appendix. We have all the numbers of what we spend on the golf course.
But then I feel like we haven't done our job. All we've done is taken the numbers off the spread, off the books and put them in the appendix, and we haven't done our job, which is to distill that information in a digestible form that the average citizen can look at and say, okay, the next flyer that shows up on my door, let's just look at it this way. The next flyer that shows up on my door, you can take this sheet and compare it, and you can say, you can spend this any way you want to, but these numbers are right. These numbers are correct. Everybody on the council was 100% agreed with them. And I'll say this, we better not all agree with the spin on those numbers, but the numbers had better be right. They shouldn't be inflated to look bad. They should be honest, but everybody has to agree they're true. And if we haven't done that, I think we haven't done our job.
If you look at page 10 and page 11.
Okay.
I agree with that 100%, Rick.
Review of the golf course financials on page 10 and 11.
Finance guys, look at that and see if pages 10 and 11 solve this problem. Because I would like to be able to say, because someone's going to put out simple numbers about the golf course. And I wouldn't even mind two different sets of simple numbers about the golf course. One set of numbers that is absolutely accurate, that says this is our perspective of numbers, and another set of numbers if we have to, that's a positive, absolute, even, you know, the ugly negative and the hopeful positive, as long as they're both accurate, I don't mind them being there. But I don't know that I could get this. I mean, maybe I could.
I could even help with the positive number. I have ideas on that.
I mean, we have audited numbers that we're using here that nobody wants to call accurate. I mean, I understand that. So I don't know what numbers you're going to use to declare as accurate.
I think,
Rob, explain that again. What's inaccurate about these numbers?
Which ones?
The subsidy versus losses.
Well, I think we're talking about page 10 just now.
Yep. Yeah. Page 10 is fine, right? Yeah.
In terms of numbers, it's fine, but page 12 gives and some explanation. That's important.
Page 13, you mean?
Page 13. Page 10, page 12 does as well, I should say.
I meant to say 13. Is it 10 and 12 definitely give you a picture, but it's page 13 that helps you understand that picture.
Right.
And so for people that live and die in the financial numbers every day, that's fine, but the majority of the residents don't live there. They need some explanation.
Right, we're not going to reach a unanimous consensus
on this point in the committee.
I don't know why we can't reach a consensus like Rick is saying that the numbers are accurate. That's, I think, if we can't even do that.
Committee can vote and declare them accurate. I don't see why.
It's the interpretation of the numbers where there's an issue, but the numbers themselves.
I would like a unanimous vote on those accuracy. I think we can get it. Well, actually, you know what? I don't know. Let's do it this way. Guys, we're going to vote. Are you ready? Go ahead, Mark. No, they're figuring it out. This.
It's harder now because here's the problem. They've thrown at us new expenses that the golf course has never seen before, right? Charles?
I didn't catch.
We're dealing with expenses that the golf course has never seen before. Utility expenses.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
yes, so now to compare our old financial numbers to the new ones.
Yeah. Mini meeting is over.
The meeting inside the meeting is over. We can vote now.
So we created a when last time this committee met, we went through the numbers. We created a spreadsheet and a PowerPoint deck showing what we thought was the relevant last 4 years of activity. We came up with a format to try to simplify as much as we could. I suggest we replace perhaps this page with some work that maybe three of us here could do, using that same format and trying to roll it forward.
No, those three.
These three. We may need some help from it, because there are accounting changes that do complicate that a little bit.
It's worth making mention that so where changes have taken place, it's worth making.
I would say Charles should be part of that group.
No, you know, it's through email anyway, right? We're talking about here, guys.
Well, there actually might be a sit down might be warranted, to get that done. As much as I'm not looking for another job,
I know
mine's busy enough, but I think we to do a proper job, I think we need to do that.
Okay,
I would just add I feel all we're doing with that exercise is taking numbers we already have in here and repackaging them in a different format.
In an understandable format.
It's largely true. I think you're right.
A digestible format, if you will.
Right.
We have two options here that the city can vote on. Do we believe that we will likely not come to a consensus on the numbers, and that the best case in this case is to completely strike page 13 and move forward with what's left, which we all agree with? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Nay. All right, those opposed, or those in favor of Mark, the two Marks, and Rob.
Charles.
Oh, and Charles.
Dang it.
Sorry. I mean, I don't know that. Anyway, actually reworking this based on the format that we did last time and including, importantly, a list of all the assets that we have acquired along with the golf course and including the golf course.
I don't think they're necessarily agreeing to the format of last time. I think they're agreeing to come with an understandable format.
To use that as a guide.
Yes? To use that as a guide.
Okay, those in favor of that process, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those in favor, say nay. Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Good job. Good job. All right.
Consistent, right?
You are consistent. The ayes have it, and that will be reworked.
By what date, may I ask?
After the
audit.
There's
a due date on this, right?
Yeah, there's a due date.
After the audit.
Gentlemen,
within 48 hours?
Hey,
about that?
Hey, Rick, let me just say this. Can we not separate some of these issues? I know you had a series of things that you wanted to discuss and vote on. Does the fact that we don't agree on some of the verbiage in here or some of the numbers preclude us from voting on some of the other things?
No, there are some votes we will not do today.
No, but I think there's some that we can.
Absolutely will.
And then after this meeting, maybe we can work on this document and come to a consensus before it is produced and given at our town hall meeting. But I think there's some things that we can vote on regardless of how we feel about this document.
I agree. Is that right? I think 48 hours would be nice. Do you guys think you can produce this in 48 hours?
I have no idea.
No, Rick, I'm saying, are there still some things that we can vote on tonight?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I would like to do that.
Like I said, we'd have to start right now, probably.
Me too.
The timing is a problem, right? We have fall break, and
that's true.
Each of the three of us are out of town starting tomorrow.
As am I.
So we'd have to work on it right now.
Yeah.
I'll be golfing somewhere.
We'd have to work on it right now.
Wouldn't we rather put out a good
which
document?
Which maybe we could do.
Like a rush document? I think we could.
Seriously. Would you like, do you propose that? Anybody second? Go ahead, propose it again.
You know, we possibly could hammer that out tonight.
Okay.
But we need to get through the rest that we
all right, let's crank.
Need to cover.
Let's crank through it, because the rest of it's not going to be that controversial, I don't think. Anything else in the... Well, what else we got?
So page 14 is the same as last time. Pages 15 through 32, you didn't see last meeting, but you've seen it before. It's just a verbatim copy of the legal counsel's.
Okay. So that is exactly what the legal counsel gave us. We have
right.
not added any commentary. We have not made any edits. It is 100% what the attorneys gave us.
Right.
We've all seen that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's happy with that? No reason?
Is the red theirs or our highlight?
The red is my highlight.
Okay.
I just thought I'd try and call out it easy for the readers to get to the important stuff.
Find something interesting there.
Instead of the legalese stuff.
And I'll say this. I'm less concerned about unanimous opinions on things like the social contract, but on the financial contract, I'm very concerned. I want everything to be absolutely on there. I think we can do that. Okay. What else has been changed? Is it just social
on the
contract?
Social contract on page 34... There's new language submitted by Mark and yourself, I believe, beginning with the second paragraph, I think.
All right.
The third paragraph, I believe.
Where is the third paragraph?
In red.
Page 34.
Wrong page.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Who wants to read that? Rob Olson, you good? Or would you prefer not to?
I don't have my reading glasses.
All right, I'll take care of it. The development agreement that the City of Cedar Hills entered into with the developer Lone Peak Links allows for no development of golf course land inside of city limits. The purpose of this was to limit the developer's ability to develop land reserved for open space and also to protect the value of homes built in the Cedars development. Neither party, the city nor the developer, would be allowed to alter that agreement unless both parties agreed to the change. In an effort to reduce our bond debt, the city negotiated with Lone Peak Links to allow for a reconfiguring of hole 15 on the east side of Canyon Road, creating land the city could then sell for development. This development would allow the golf course to remain intact, preserve the bulk of our open space, and protect the investment of the Cedars residents. In an effort to help reduce contention in the city and to help pay down the bond debt, the Cedars Homeowners Association agreed not to mount any legal challenge to the proposed rezoning and encouraged the developer to allow the city to relax restrictions on the land east of Canyon Road without dispute. Councilman Crawley's Option B plan now calls for all of the land east of Canyon Road to be sold for housing development. This would eliminate a large amount of open space and result in the complete closure of the golf course. The residents of the Cedars in good faith gave up their rights to challenge this type of development east of Canyon Road with the expectation the city would deal with them in good faith. Councilman Crawley's Option B proposal targets the land east of Canyon Road for development specifically because this good faith negotiation left the land vulnerable. Councilman Crawley's plan also includes funds to fight any legal challenge filed by the residents. We believe attempts to take advantage of this zoning loophole violates a social contract with the citizens of the Cedars and is not ethical. Next.
Just one thing real quick on that. In the Excuse me for standing up. I don't know if this will reach either. It might. Oh, here we go. In the... let me look at this. In the paragraph that starts out, in an effort to help reduce contention in the city and help pay down the bond debt, the Cedars Homeowners Association agreed not to mount any legal challenge. Where is there any document in here that helps us define that?
We don't have a document. All we have is witnesses for that.
Yeah,
seems a tough.
Maybe we could rephrase that a little bit.
Okay.
I do know that we do have an agreement with Lone Peak Links that's signed and executed. I don't know about the Cedars.
Well,
I've not seen a document for that.
What we have is, in this situation, is we have folks who went to the Homeowners Association and said, look, I know this is tough, but will you please not fight this? And the Homeowners Association said basically, that this is according to Daniel Cipolla, who's talked to these folks. So I don't know.
I understand it's tough to put that in a document like this and say, hey, the Cedars has agreed not to mount a legal challenge, when possibly the Cedars...
They may do one later.
If that's the case, then is the city not vulnerable to legal challenge because it's already been done?
I think we just rephrase
that. That would be a good question for the attorney.
I think we just rephrase that instead of saying agreed not to mount, we just say they did not mount a legal challenge.
Or there was an agreement not to mount by someone. Well,
We'd have to use the word agreement if we can't prove it, right?
7 years of when they could have done it.
Well, yeah, it's kind of past.
They did not mount a legal challenge. That's
the agreement made between the city and Lone Peak Links. Yeah. We could say that.
Yeah.
I'd just like to clarify that a little bit.
Okay, can we put that in? You got that, Dave? Mm-hmm.
Also, on that first one in red right there, is that accurate, saying that there was no development? Because I thought there was remaining density that the city now owned when they took on that land.
They could not alter the golf course.
And that's how they were able to do the Lone Peaks, or I mean St. Andrews, because they had remaining density from the...
That was one of the issues, is they have remaining density, but they relaxed all the other restrictions that said they could not alter the golf course.
Right, they altered stuff, but to do St. Andrews, they didn't create more density. They're using the same density from the original master development agreement.
I don't think the word density is in this document anywhere, right, in that statement.
What's that?
Anymore. There's no word. Density is not even referred to in this at all.
No, well, it says nothing that they can't develop any of the golf course land inside the city limits. Is that what they gave up from Lone Peak?
My understanding.
Lone Peak gave up the right to keep that as open space and challenge that. Is that what the agreement was there? Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that was worded right. Yeah.
Okay. I think it is.
It sounds like it's
worded right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You have those changes, Dave?
Right.
Okay.
The overall point is that the Cedars HOA didn't fight the city and Links to accomplish that, and they know, they basically in good faith didn't challenge it. And now, because they've given up the rights,
and I think we
it's
need
kind
to
of the, the rights. Right. We're worried about the give an inch, take a mile somewhat scenario. They may have
and
given an
say,
inch, and now we're going to go take a mile.
I think in good faith is the idea, because they could very much have mounted a challenge and said to Lone Peak Links simply, "No, guys, leave us alone." And Lone Peak Links would absolutely have said, "Hey, my people don't want this to happen. The people that bought homes from us, our community, we don't want this to happen." And Rob, you know specifically that everything on your plan specifically rings around that area that hadn't been made clear by that negotiation between Lone Peak Links. Right. So it really is. They never expected to see the whole golf course go down the tubes when they kind of held back on that. So that needs to be there. But we can change some of the wording. Okay. And then we have more of this.
The only other change is now on page 41. I added, we talked in committee earlier about the amount of money that the Cedars spends on maintaining their own roads and parks and irrigation and all that, which the city, I would imagine, would have to pick up if we undid everything.
No. That would be something that they no longer become a private community, because it's essentially run as a private community.
Yeah, I think I asked that question at one time.
Yeah, we asked that question, got clarification. The city wouldn't be obligated to assume that.
Here's the deal, though. You wouldn't be obligated to assume it, but this whole part of this is a little nebulous. We're talking about social contract. Mm-hmm. We're taking a situation.
No, this is not the social contract.
Oh, this is outside of it? Or are we in
this? This is the conclusions.
Oh, okay, well.
Hey, so,
we can just strike this if you like, if people.
So let's look at it.
It's. Yeah, I misunderstood the
which page 41 for allocation of city to begin providing these services. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the city, from our understanding, was that the city wouldn't be obligated to assume those.
So, all right, so maybe they should go in the social contract where if they lose a golf course and still have to take care of their own roads, they lose all their open space and they still have to take care of their own roads.
Yeah, that's got to go into the social contract because that's another unfairness that's going on there. We may not have to do a lot of things. We can do lots of things, but I think that would be a real bite to say, hey, thanks a lot, and we're taking away everything you got, but we're making you pay the bill.
Okay, I'll put it.
Hey, sorry, I need to back up a little bit. Back in social contract, the very last word, two words, 34. I almost let it go, but I think. 34, last two words, not ethical.
Yeah. How would you describe it?
How about if we said would be bad faith?
I like not ethical, but I'll accept bad faith.
Well, I
specifically eliminated the word moral because people didn't like that.
I know. Ethical, we're kind of going on Mark's previous.
I think
I
ethical. I still
agree with that comment. I think it's too strong, but.
I think it's strong and strong for a good reason. That's my opinion.
I'll tell you what. As a member of this committee, I feel like it's accurate.
Opinion, right?
Do you feel like it's inaccurate?
Just put up the two words and have the committee vote. We'll stick whatever word.
All right. What's the other word?
Ethical versus what?
Would be bad faith.
Bad faith versus ethical.
We said they operated in good faith, and I think if we counter it, it would be bad faith.
Another thing to consider, it was in writing, all the things that I had in my flyer that were said by the city council and mayor. Mm-hmm. With those things in mind, I'm not sure it's unethical.
No, I read your point on this, Rob, the other day, and I can see where you're going. I wouldn't say this. The problem that Brent brought up originally was, are we calling individuals unethical or immoral? And I don't think we are in this case. I think we're talking about the city and the city actions. We're not talking about anybody. And I recognize that, look, I've read the flyers from past city councils, and they very clearly, passionately advocated for a golf course and said almost flippantly, well, and if the golf course doesn't make $400,000 a year, then by all means, close the sucker down and let's get out of here and move on to something else. Now, I don't feel that way, but they felt that way. And I think you could go back in time and say, well, I want to cash in on that promise made by that city council 13 years ago and by that mayor. And I think it's perfectly ethical to do that. My problem is that we have real people involved in the Cedars, and this isn't some, I don't know, esoteric argument. I don't care about bad faith with the people that hated the golf course 13 years ago. I just don't care. If they feel like there's people that felt like the golf course shouldn't have been put in place, and I don't feel the need to satisfy those folks at all. I feel like right now we need to look at the golf course in its current state and see what the impact of the golf course is on the community as it stands now. And when we deal as a city council, or when you deal as a city council, or when this city deals with people, it is ethical and it is moral when dealing with citizens that are current and involved in this situation. If someone had a problem with the golf course years ago and felt like, and I told you so, was in order, I don't feel like that constitutes ethical behavior to make the citizens of the Cedars, you know, basically pay for being kind enough not to fight that St. Andrews development. I just feel like they were good enough to say, look, we're not going to fight. And there's people up there, especially in the condos, that were really affected by this. I mean, they really are, to say, look, we're going to add a bunch of housing right around our houses. And those guys are going to be pretty upset. I think they still will when St. Andrews Estate starts to get built on. So they made some sacrifices. And again, we've said before, the nose of the camel got in the tent, and it would be completely unethical as a city for us now to capitalize on that and just build all over them and say, well, you shouldn't have done it. Too bad for you. We can do it, and you shouldn't have. So again, you want to go back in time and say, well, it's ethical because Mayor so-and-so made this statement, I don't feel as a committee member that matters to me at all.
Rick?
Yeah.
I think that this highlights something that we've touched on in the past and that we highlighted in the legal
closed session, which is the danger of trying to tie the hands of future city councils, future city leaders, or cities general 10 years, et cetera, down the road. Because look what's happened when somebody 10 years ago made statements about what they think should be happening now. So I think, for example, a lot of our suggestions are what the city should be doing here and now in the foreseeable future. Let the city 10, 20 years from now continue to make decisions about what they face at that time.
And I agree. And you know, if you said, and I've said this before, and in our voting you'll find these statements clear, if the financial situation of the golf course dramatically changes, if it becomes a real burden on the city, if we are in terrible debt and having all kinds of trouble and can't afford it, then we can go and say, look, is it ethical? Is there a balancing ethic that says now we have to maintain this golf course, even though it's dragging us all down to our deaths?
Well,
then
if
no.
Water issues.
Why don't we to move on? Why don't we pick bad faith or ethical?
Okay, here we go. Those in favor of those who feel that ethical is too strong and should be stricken, say aye.
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 Those who feel like bad faith is a good replacement for ethical, say, oh, that isn't working. Those who feel it should stay, those who feel it should stay, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those who would be happy enough with bad faith instead of ethical, say aye.
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 Those who feel like bad faith is also strong, say aye.
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 There's multiple choices.
There are multiple choices. Too strong is the word.
The question should be.
Thank you. Make
the question
for me better.
Not ethical or bad.
Those that would prefer to use the word ethical.
Okay. All right.
Say
I like it. Those who prefer the word ethical, say aye.
Aye.
Those that prefer
no,
say aye.
Those that prefer does
bad
that work
faith.
Too? Those that prefer bad faith, say aye.
Aye.
Geez, that's awful. I can't
We need to have a
it needs to be
call.
Different. All right, it does need to have a roll call.
Why don't we just say
right, ethical or bad faith?
Why don't we just say to do this would be could be opposed by the residents of the city.
It is a social contract statement. We can't.
Let's do a roll call vote then to the ayes. Just do it again, but raise hands. And you keep your hands up to you.
And we're just going to vote on that way. Okay.
Same way we just did.
Those who prefer ethical to bad faith, raise your hand.
How many is that?
One. Mark you
Wait,
down.
Sorry, what was the question?
Those who prefer ethical over bad faith, raise your hand. One, two, three, four.
Four.
Those who prefer right. bad faith over ethical, raise your hand. Two. Those who would like neither bad faith nor ethical, raise your hand. What word do you suggest?
How about a compromise?
I think the ethicals have it, right?
The ethicals,
free too, right?
Yeah.
The ethicals have it, but if we can come up with a term that everybody agrees
what about,
with, that would
what about a middle ground? What about could be perceived as unethical?
I like that.
I like that.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say too. You even said earlier it says good faith two sentences up. Just
could
use the term bad faith and
could be
you're
perceived
being
as bad faith.
I
explained. Oh, now we're really watering it down. How about could be perceived as ethical?
Unethical.
Yeah, as unethical.
I think we had a vote.
Okay
and I think more people
one.
Said
I'll
ethical.
That
just
one.
Go with it.
I know. You know, I'm trying hard to try to make this
like
as close as we can.
I do too.
Can
we have a vote on Mark's suggestion? Because I think
yes, we can. Mark, your suggestion was could be perceived as not ethical.
And could be perceived as unethical.
Okay, can we say that? Who thinks that the statement would work just fine as could be perceived as unethical? Raise your hand. And the voting is unanimous?
Oy,
wow, see?
Okay.
See how nice we are? See, we'll find a word.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, so then the conclusions document is the same as last time, except for page 41, removing that to the social contract, the Cedars costing part.
Yes.
And then the recommendations are the same. I believe they're the same.
All right. Do we need to read the recommendations of the City Council? Should we do that one time?
If it hasn't changed, I don't think
it hasn't changed. Does anybody need a refresher on this?
Hey, one question on the body. Is the red print intended to be in the final
yes.
document?
I'm trying to
are,
make
are
it easy on the... I highlighted
or
some
or
red...
going to be there?
I highlighted red stuff to make it easy.
Is it going to be in red?
Yes.
Because that's naturally going to take people, you know, that's kind of
yeah.
obviously Dave's opinion as to where people the key stuff is. I'm not sure that's a great idea only because
like
you know, that's one person's opinion of the key paragraphs in the document rather than, because someone naturally is going to gravitate from red to red to red and skip everything in between.
Well, they may skip
everything. I'm just asking the committee. They might not. That's a good idea to highlight.
I think it's a fair point.
What's highlighted.
And the I'm
against it.
No, everything in red is
no, it's just what after reading the paragraphs, the key.
I highlighted the stuff I thought people in the committee we talked about.
That's what you think.
Yeah. I can unread everything, but I think it's a detriment to the readers. But I'll unread everything if you want.
Well, I'm just asking the question of the committee.
I would be in favor of unreading it
because
his opinion may be different than everyone else's on what's important.
I personally do not have a problem with the red, but I could see where somebody does. So does anyone have – who here has a problem with the red? Raise your hand.
I mean, I lean that way without looking at what all the red
one.
Is.
Yeah, I haven't looked at every red.
You have to read the red and see what picture right. It paints.
Who would
really my eyes want to skip? I think the important thing – and one reason why I did the red is because this is 235 pages, right? I don't think even members of this committee are going to read the whole thing. All right? I don't think the public's going to read the whole thing. I think – the public likes bite-sized pieces. They like to jump to the right to the chase. That's what they want. I think you know, there's been sound bites on social media. There's been all the complexities boiled down to a two-page flyer. You know, if we're gonna put a 200 some odd page document at them, it might be nice if they could just kind of get to the important things. So we want to leave all the legalese things and make them read every single word to get to it. I just don't know that it's going to happen.
So it's not that I have any opposition to the red. Mark Horn has a point that people are going to gravitate to this stuff. So maybe a good idea is if you haven't already, let's take a couple minutes, read through every red lined sentence, and see if anyone has a problem with anything that's listed there. There are only about 10 pages.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's 40-something pages.
See, in
there's 40 pages there, but not all 40 pages are
in the conclusions.
Oh, I know.
Yes,
it's all in conclusions.
On page 35. Yeah.
But see, that's what I'm saying is if we can read 40 something pages.
I didn't highlight anything in red in the conclusions or the recommendations.
So if we've gotten that far, then let's either leave that part in red or just change it because nothing else on the recommendation is in red.
I like the red. It wouldn't bother me if it all goes back.
It doesn't bother me a bit.
So. But it wouldn't. Again, it wouldn't. I think it's good for people, but it wouldn't bother me if it all went black either.
Rick, why don't I suggest people can review the red on their own time if they have issues with certain reds? Maybe they send an email out to the committee and because I don't think everyone's excited to go through and
read. Yeah, I will say this: some on the bulk of the committee is going to agree with the statements and the conclusions. There are some on the committee that aren't going to agree with any of the statements and the conclusions. I think going through them is good, but I think if it's a matter of parsing every single line now, that could be a problem.
I just read through it all.
I think some of
how was it? Should we do it?
It's fine.
Yeah.
There's one.
All right.
Do you have one that you have a problem with?
Well, I haven't gotten through all of them yet.
Yeah. Should we read it really quick? You guys agree with that? Read it really quick and see.
Already reading specific portions that people have problems with.
Yeah.
Instead of having to read through every single one of them, are there ones that we're having issues with? Yeah.
I have a question about 8.
Tension tone for
which one?
We're talking about
red. Oh, right. Sorry, red stuff. Never mind. We'll get to that later.
First, I thought they would just change the documents, and I realized that there meant to be points of emphasis.
Page are you on? I did toy with the idea of doing the red all together, but I thought it would be helpful for the readers.
I'm starting back at 15.
It started on page 35.
I've got red on page 16.
It does, but we were just looking at the conclusions.
Oh, yeah. The conclusions.
We're just looking at the conclusions.
Yeah, section starts on 35.
35 to 41.
Everybody read it through, see if you have a problem with it. It's on your own.
If you do have an issue with any of it, A, you could correct
or see if we can come to a resolution on that, or B, just at the end, say the items highlighted in red were written by David Driggs, who helped co-author this.
I do have a question on page 23.
Okay, that's not in the conclusions area.
Oh, not the conclusions. Sorry, I was just looking at the red.
There is red in earlier pages.
Yes, there is.
I was looking at the red on page 23.
You're naturally.
What about it?
Well, it seems to me that the mandatory redemption provision would have been triggered already if that was going to be the case regarding St. Andrew's Estates.
We don't know that.
This has already been altered from its original purpose as a golf course.
This is the lawyer's language. I didn't.
Well, most of that's exhibits.
This is the lawyer talking.
But that's the discussion that may be the case.
This is the legal. This is the lawyer's interpretation.
And it's a direct cut and paste, right?
Yeah, and so we can't change that.
Okay. Yeah.
If that was the lawyer. Then okay.
Yeah. We're just going to go a straight up vote on this. Those who believe that the red should all be turned to black, raise your hand. Those who believe the red stays, raise your hand. Red has it. Done. Let's move on.
Rick, I'd say this in fairness to Dave. As he put this together, he was basing this on 2 months' worth of meetings and what the committee came up with. So I think it's fine.
It's going to be easier for people. I like it in there, and we don't have to be unified on that. It's good enough. Eyes have it. All right. What next?
On page 37, there's a statement that I believe to be false.
Which page?
It's 37.
637. Okay, where are we at, Rob?
It's the highlighted, the red highlighted one. It says the city of Highland would need to relinquish this open space from their general plan for this property to be compelling to a buyer. I think some buyers might be interested in it for farming. They might be interested in it for some other reasons. I just don't think that that's 100% known.
To a developer, is that?
Yeah, I think word developer would fix that problem.
Or should we just black it?
Well, it depends on what if they're going to develop a.
I think that we should just take that out.
Take what out?
No.
That highlighted red. I think it's an important point.
I do too.
I think it's an important point that people should realize that, I mean, if we're going to try and sell that land, it will not be able to be developed unless the city of Highland takes it out of their open space from their general plan.
Rob, has been a problem from the beginning, and the one person who had a letter read in this group that said, yeah, no problem, I'll buy this land because it's cheap, has now said that that is not the case.
Okay.
We have nobody who wants to buy this land as it now stands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to change the word from buyer to developer, that seems fine.
How about I just say this property be compelling, period. Just take out to a buyer altogether. Just say
for purchase.
For this to be compelling.
For purchase.
For purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not different than a much difference than saying a lot.
As a committee, do we agree that the city of Highland would need to relinquish this open space from their general plan for this property to be compelling for purchase? Is that a statement this committee agrees with?
At a high price. I mean, if they sold it for $1, I'd buy it tomorrow. If they sold it for $10,000, I'd buy it for tomorrow. I would say that it would. If they didn't do that, it'd have to go for a very low price.
If you want to add some, if you want to clutter this up with junk, that's fine. That's nitpicking. I mean,
what if we flipped it around and said, for this property to be, you know, compelling for or to be sold for significant value, it is likely the city of Highland would have to. You know, relinquish this from their as open space from their general plan.
Okay, so keep to buyer in there and say
likely the city of Highland would likely need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't say that's a straight out false statement, so I like it too. That's a good change. That's
likely.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark Horn, you seem bugged. Are you okay?
No,
okay, you all right?
I'm good on this.
Good, all right. Just making sure. I'm looking down there going, all right, you ready to blow or are you tired?
I was just wondering if we're going to be here until midnight again. So.
Dude, no, we're gonna be done soon.
Oh, we are. We still have work to do, pal.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we're going
to
be fast. Sorry.
I tried to get you not to do that work, but you wanted to do it.
It's important. All right, where are we at? We're keeping the red. We're changing that word to likely.
Okay.
What else we got?
We're back in recommendations again.
Okay, we're going to burn through this.
Is all the same.
Yeah.
The last two might be new. 17, 18.
We have that ethical word again and moral. All right, should we try the last two? Dave?
Last two. At present, the city is financially sound. I guess it's open to interpretation, but we're not bankrupt.
I'm looking at the legal 44? Hurdles. What are you looking at?
Page 44.
Oh, 44. Okay.
Number 17.
All right, go ahead.
At present, the city is financially sound and can meet its financial obligations, which is a true statement. We can pay our bills. There is not a pressing need to liquidate city assets to remain financially solvent.
I agree with that. Anybody disagree with that statement? No, we're all in favor. Go ahead.
The community event center was built in part to support the needs of the golf course. Closing the golf course could lead to money spent on this building to be wasted. Events, in particular, wedding receptions are reserved on the premise of it being held at a golf course clubhouse. Committee had concern that it may be more difficult to market event bookings should the building no longer be a golf course.
Those in favor of that statement, raise your hand.
I'd like to qualify.
Please, go ahead.
So, where it says events, in particular wedding receptions, it should say corporate events as well. So, weddings and corporate events.
Okay.
Okay, with the added statement, wedding receptions and corporate events, who agrees with the premise of that statement, raise your hand. Those who disagree with that statement, raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you disagree with? You don't think the closing the golf course would affect the finances of the Vista Room?
No, I don't know. I think it could. But I also think there are lots of event centers that aren't on golf courses that are successful.
And if they have the beautiful view and open space around them, assuming that there was open space maintained.
We did use the word could, right?
Just yeah.
We used could lead to.
Really, I got outvoted, so I don't, I mean.
I mean, I use the same word you just did, could.
Yeah, I got outvoted, so I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to fight anyone.
Let's
over
move on
it,
then.
Okay, eyes have it. Okay, is that it? Okay, we're trying to close.
Other than you want to read all the appendix, you want to read that?
No, we're not reading any appendix.
We're not reading
any
appendix.
Hey, Rick, can I make one other suggestion? Though?
Yes, Mark.
I think it ought to be added maybe at the end of the conclusion of the document. I think it's important that we add somewhere that just that these conclusions and facts were gathered based on what we know today. Because as we've talked about, facts and circumstances could change down the road. And it's important to say that we're making these decisions based on the
current
facts and circumstances of today.
That's what it says in the executive summary, essentially.
Does it say it in there?
Yeah.
And I do
like
also
said that clearly, where it's just this is based on today's facts and circumstances. But
I think
there's
a
date on the document as well, right?
I think that's a fair
statement. That's my only suggestion.
Could we add a sentence to the top opening line on page 42, right under the recommendation that says that. These recommendations and conclusions are based on current information.
All right. I think we can also include our voting questions at the end of our conclusions. David, are you good with that?
Sure.
Our vote?
Sure.
Good. All right. These are easy enough. Okay. This is how this is going to work if everybody's agreed. We'll go through our voting questions and first decide whether we feel like with the information that we have available, we can, as a committee, proceed with this vote. If we feel like we must wait for the changes in this document to take place before we can proceed with this vote, then we will put that off till that time. Okay? So as of right now, we have 6 items to vote on as a committee. Fair? Okay. Item number 1, do you believe Rob Crawley's option B solution as outlined in this report is a good and viable plan for the city and that the city council should move forward to promote this plan, implement this plan, or recommend this plan to the public? Does everybody understand the question?
I just think there's two. I don't know if you got my email a couple hours ago.
I didn't.
I think there's two questions there. To me, there's a different answer as to whether you have a viable plan that Rob presented as opposed to whether I think the city ought to proceed to pursue that plan versus keep the golf course here.
I agree.
That's my personal opinion.
So what word instead of viable would you like to see in place of viable?
No, well, I'm
two questions.
I'm just saying it's two different questions.
Just ask, should the committee recommend
the
city council move forward with option B?
question.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I think that's simple. Not talk about its viability.
Well, all right. Judge the viability
we
of the plan.
We can eliminate the first.
I would vote yes on viability, but no on should we move forward to the council. So I would be just fine with having two.
But no, those are or questions. So it is should we move forward to promote this plan, implement this plan, or recommend this plan to the public? Mm-hmm. So I agree. It's a little bit broad, but it does. And you don't say. Well, you can still say, I don't believe we should move forward with it, but I do believe we should recommend it to the public. Fine.
Well, our only role here is to recommend to city council.
Exactly. I agree with Dave.
We're not here to recommend to the public or...
Okay. Well, then
our role is to recommend to the city council.
Okay. Let's change this then.
That's what we were
informed to do. I think the heart of the issue is, do we care to pass judgment on the viability of the plan or just a recommendation vote?
I'm fine with just leaving it to the recommendation on the vote.
Yeah,
I think the document speaks to the viability of it.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Just go to the recommendation vote.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Want me to say that one time?
Yeah. I'm looking at this.
So does anybody feel like we should vote on the viability?
No, it's simply our what our recommendation is to the council.
We were asked to give a recommendation to the council on options A and B. Yeah, we really should have two questions, in my mind.
Split it into two. Let's just split it into two, because I think there are two.
Okay.
Just like Rob Crowley said.
So you're saying, do you believe Rob Crowley's option B solution, as outlined in this report, is a good and viable plan?
I'd leave good
that's
out.
Question one.
Is a viable plan. Is a viable plan.
I don't know how you define viable.
Well, really your opinion, don't. I guess.
It's going to be an opinion.
Yeah.
Could it be done?
Yeah. Is a viable plan.
Yeah.
Could it be done? Is it feasible?
Then can I say, do you believe the city council should move forward to promote this plan, implement this plan, or recommend this plan to the public?
That's question two.
That's fair, right?
Yeah.
Not to the public,
okay.
The city council.
Yeah, no. Do you believe the city council should?
No, we need to make a recommendation to city council, so we need to vote that way. We need to vote. The question is, should be... Does this committee recommend option B to the city council?
In that plane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, but
yeah.
We are making a recommendation to the city council.
That they do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the recommendation is not to implement option B.
That should be clear then. Is that?
Yeah.
I'm saying, do we believe the city council should move forward with this plan, promote this plan, or implement this plan?
We
say yes or no. Right. So all those words still work. Do we recommend to the city council that they should move forward to promote this plan, implement this plan, or recommend this plan to the public?
But I would call it option, because that's what Rob called it.
Option.
It's not a plan.
Okay.
Option.
That's easier to change.
And if you want to put A and B in the same question, you can do that, or we can do that separately.
We have A in a different question.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to try. Man, it's got to be right, though. Do you believe Rob Crowley's option B solution, as outlined in this report, is a viable plan? Question mark. And then, do you believe Rob Crowley's option B? Do you believe the city council should move forward? Okay, now I need to change that.
Do you recommend option B be implemented?
Do you believe?
But
see, there's more than that, because I believe option B, a key to this option B, is should we give it to the citizens and promote it to the citizens as a plan that they should vote on and like.
That's not our role. I mean, our role is to recommend it to the council. If the city council wants to
We could recommend to the city council that they promote this to the city, couldn't we?
Well, we can tell them whatever
we want. Yeah,
I know, that's what I'm saying.
We still have to recommend option B or not. Once we recommend the recommendation, we can say whatever we want. We can say all sorts of stuff. We have to, at the very least, recommend option
B. All right, I'm going to say, I'm just going to make this simple.
Do you recommend option B?
Recommend option B to the city council.
Be adopted.
Rick, we can make a recommendation on option B, and then we could make a recommendation on option A based on
we have an option
the prior committee's recommendations.
We have an option A vote as well. Do you recommend option B
be adopted
by the city council?
Question.
Yeah, but that does not
answer the question is, do we believe it should be promoted to the city?
That's a different question. Ask that after one.
Okay.
Ask that one first, and then ask whatever you want there. That's my opinion.
I think we could get both done in one question if we wanted to. Let's see what I said here. Do you believe that the city council should move forward to promote this, to promote option B, implement option B, or recommend option B to the public?
I'm fine with that.
You good with that? Do you okay, hold on. Do you recommend option B? Do you recommend, sorry, that the city council should move forward to promote option B, implement option B, or recommend option B to the public? Can we take that vote?
Well, to the public part, is it?
Or recommend option B?
We need to make a recommendation to the council, not recommend them how they should interact with the public.
We're recommending.
Not to be so specific about it, but.
When you Mayor, what do you think of that? End, city council members, what do you think about that? Are we bugging when we do that? Have we overstepped our bounds?
Read it again.
Do you believe that the city council should move forward to promote option B, implement option B, or recommend option B to the public?
Just drop the public part.
Why? Because my thought is, if we think the option B is a disaster, then we don't recommend the city council say to the public, hey, this is great, let's go forward with it. Because the idea is they want to vote, right?
Technically, you have not made a recommendation to the council when you say it that way. You're telling them how to interact with the public.
Just leave it with whether we should enact.
Whether they should enact it.
Just drop the in the public part
if
off.
If they're going to enact it or not, that
recommend. Okay. Or recommend option B?
Yeah, because obviously it's going to have to be recommended to the public in general.
Either way.
Okay, well, I feel like recommended has to be in there because, remember, the biggest discussion of this is, well, I think that we ought to take this out to the people and let them decide. They ought to say, well, I think it's either that's a waste of time or that's a great time.
That's up to the city council, though, right? Whether it's taken out to the people. Our role is to recommend to the city council.
All right, good enough. Let's just do it. Let's see what happens. Do we feel like we have enough information in this document and with our discussions to make that vote on those two items today? Anybody who agrees, raise your hand. Anybody who disagrees and feels like we should wait for more information to make that vote, raise your hand. Okay, we're taking the vote. Are you ready? We're going to do a roll call on this and ask each individual to give a vote. Does that make sense? Do you believe Rob Crawley's option B solution, as outlined in this report, is a viable plan? Brent Aaron.
Undecided.
Undecided's not an answer.
Can't do it.
Yes or no?
So it has to be yes or no?
Yeah.
Is it viable and that it's feasible? Yes.
Is that what you like?
Is this the viable question?
Because you asked me if you
this is
me
the
if
viable
it's feasible,
question.
It's feasible, but almost anything's feasible.
I
so
think
viable though becomes more subjective.
Viable becomes more subjective.
Viable's the word.
You're going to have to use your own judgment.
I think that's the case.
So,
if you feel like it's habit, I mean,
could it be done? Yes.
Should it? Okay.
But see, now you're asking, should it? And that's just that goes to the next question.
Okay, that's fine. You
so,
can.
So yes, it could be.
Okay, good enough. Chandler, we're going to Chandler Goodwin.
Staff's going to abstain.
Staff's going to abstain, right? So, Charles, you're abstaining. David, you're abstaining. David Driggs. Do you believe Rob Crawley's option B solution, as outlined in this report, is a viable plan?
No.
Gary Gigi, are you abstaining on this as staff or?
I'm not staff.
Okay. Gary Gigi.
No, I don't believe it's a viable plan.
Mark Horn, do you believe it's a viable plan?
Yes.
Mark Webb, do you believe it's a viable plan?
No.
Priscilla Leek has sent a vote in on this through email. Are we okay with that? Everybody okay? How you feel? She has said, no, it is not a viable plan. Rick Stewart, no, it is not a viable plan. Rob Crawley?
Yes.
Yes, it is a viable plan. Rob Olson?
No.
Trent Augustus?
No.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 no's. 1, 2, 3 yeses.
So the recommendation to the City Council is that it is not a viable plan. Question number two. Okay, bear with me on this. Do you recommend that the City Council should move forward to promote option B, implement option B, or recommend option B?
Nicely stated.
Brent Aaron.
No.
Okay, I'm in. Hold on, I got to find a way to account for this now. Okay, this is no. David Driggs.
No.
Mark Horn.
No.
Mark Webb.
No. Get choked up about it.
Way to go. Priscilla Leek has voted no. Rick Stewart, no. Rob Crawley.
No.
Rob Olson.
No.
Trent Augustus.
No.
Okay.
You forgot me.
Oh, gosh. Where were you on here, Gary? Oh, there you go. Gary Gigi.
No.
Thank you, Mike.
He recommended.
Great. One, two, three.
Amazing. We got complete consensus on something.
10 no's. Good job. Okay. Question number two. The first question is, can we answer this question with the information we have provided? Do you believe the current economic status of the golf course is sustainable? Do we feel like, who feels like we have enough information to vote on that tonight? Do you feel that the current economic status of the golf course is sustainable?
Hey, Rick, can you kind of clarify what your intent is on that question?
We can fix this question if you want. Can we go forward and continue to have a golf course without it being an undue burden on the city, causing us to have financial problems?
With our information as of today. Projecting into the future, but just what we know today.
Yes.
I think this is a forward-looking question.
Mm-hmm. I don't like this question. I don't think this is a good question either.
Strike the question?
It's not of any value anyway.
Good enough.
Whether to strike it?
Yes. Yeah. Who believes we should strike the question? Raise your hand. Who believes the question is good? Raise your hand.
You guys are a bunch of...
I think it's a good question as long as we... We go through.
Is it a question worth answering or not?
We didn't spend any time talking about that as the problem.
Well, we did. That was the very first meeting we had. We went through.
The first I wasn't here, but
because I will say this, can I defend this question first, and then you guys can tell me what you want. I feel like that a big part of the golf course discussion is the golf course a millstone around this city's neck. And is it dragging the city down because we cannot afford to have it financially? I think we have looked at that issue for the last two times. If the golf course is unsustainable, if it is a economic drag on the city to where it is unsustainable, that we cannot have a reasonable government, afford reasonable things, have reasonable taxes. If it's unsustainable, then that's a deal for the golf course. But if this committee, if we're looking at the financial numbers and we say, well, the city of this size, with the tax revenue that we have coming in, looking at all of our numbers, and then looking at what the cost of the golf course is to the city, is it sustainable? Is it something we can afford
to do? The problem I have with this question is two things. One is with government funds, everything can be sustainable because you raise taxes like we did to support the golf course. We raise taxes to fund the bond. And so that's why it's really hard to answer this question.
That if you felt like the tax burden for the bond was too high, uh-huh, then I would vote unsustainable, maybe.
Right. But it's really based on this is based on where you live and whether you benefit from it, if you golf on it, if you visit that area.
I
go back to what Trent said. I think if you base it on current conditions, then I think we can vote on it. I don't have a problem voting on that question.
He used the word current there.
Yes.
Then I don't have a problem voting on it.
This question is really more like when this committee first convened, we were answer that question.
That was the question that we answered the first time.
And that's why I don't mind answering it now.
I really do feel like it's a valuable question for this committee to answer. Because you can say, look, I would prefer that we spend our money someplace else. And that's a fair question. Right. You could say, do you prefer that golf course funds be spent on public parks? That's a fair question. But I think it's also fair and an important question to answer for the citizens. Is the golf course an economic millstone around the city's neck that is creating hardship?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
What if we combined it?
I'll answer your question you're asking. You're talking me to it. I'll do it.
Will you do it?
Yeah.
I'll talk you into it.
I love it.
What if we combined it with the next one to say, is it going to put undue financial hardship on the city, keeping the golf course? You know, I would say no. I would say no. It's not.
Then it's sustainable. You can feel it's sustainable and not feel like it's the right thing for the city. That's the only question here. Is it sustainable? Can we continue to live like this? I mean, let's take, you know, in the political world, Obamacare. Is it sustainable? You could look at it and say, wow, there's a lot of people coming into the system. Maybe it's not sustainable. Maybe we can do it for a couple of months, or maybe we can do it for a couple of years, but in the end, it's going to snowball and it's not going to be sustainable. Is Social Security sustainable? You can have a vote about that and say, well, it is for now, but it's not sustainable, maybe. And so as it currently stands. So this says, do you believe the current economic status of the golf course is sustainable? So if it stays kind of in the same realm, is this something that we as a city can live with for decades,
Rick,
without it becoming
a
burden?
Go for it.
Oh, thank you. Let's ask. Everybody who likes to ask this question, raise your hand. Everybody who disagrees, go ahead.
Are we adding a qualifier that Trent had that says, he said, with the information that we have right now?
Yeah.
Are we adding that or are we not adding that?
Well, the word current is in there.
Current.
And I do have the next question that does address it.
Can I hear the question again?
Let me hear it again.
Do you believe the current economic status of the golf course is sustainable?
Okay.
Let's ask it. If you can say yes or no. Think about it. Think of your answers. Doesn't matter. Okay. All right. Do you believe the current economic status of the golf course is sustainable? Brent Aaron.
Yes.
David Driggs.
Yes.
Gary Gigi.
Yes.
Mark Horn.
Yes.
Mark Webb.
Yes.
Priscilla Leake answered yes to this question. Rick Stewart, yes. Rob Crawley.
Yes.
Rob Olson.
Yes.
Trent Augustus.
Yes.
Okay, that's 10. All right. See, it's good
that's
to have questions.
That's unanimous theme.
No, it's our second.
Is it the second one?
Second one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I missed the first one.
That's good. You weren't watching. That was all
that oddly worded
question was answered in full. All right.
About the author.
Question number three. The first answer is, remember, do we have the information? Gentlemen and ladies, we don't have any ladies anymore. Do you believe, okay, here, this is the first question we'll ask is, do we feel like we have enough information to continue with this vote, and then we'll vote. Question four now, actually. Do you believe that for now, okay, listen to this carefully. Do you believe that for now, barring any dramatic change in economic status, the best course of action for the city council is to fully support and promote the golf course and make all possible efforts to improve its financial viability going forward? This is the Plan A vote, as I understand it. Should I read that again? Do you believe that for now, barring any dramatic change in economic status, the best course of action for the city is to fully support and promote the golf course and make all possible efforts to improve its financial viability going forward? Is the word viability a problem there? Mark, go ahead, buddy.
I don't have a word with the viability. That in the email I sent you a couple hours ago, I just suggested the part about the dramatic change. It's hard to quantify that. I would suggest, do you believe, based on the facts and circumstances we know today, and then continue on? I mean, people can make their own judgment in the future as to whether or not there's been enough change in any of the facts and circumstances that our work no longer merited.
I can. I juggled the word dramatic in and out of that statement a couple of times, but it could be, if you don't put some qualifier in there, then there will be fluctuation. You know, like for instance, this year it's going to cost maybe $55,000.
What's that?
Should we go with material?
Go with some accounting terms.
What's material? Give it to me.
Material
change.
It's a better word, actually.
It's an accounting. It's an accounting.
Material is a better word.
Or significant.
I like that.
It could be
significant.
Well, I like significant.
I think significant's fine too. It's either one.
Significantly material.
The one word. Hey, I do have one other word.
Yeah,
I don't really
please.
Like. It says all possible. Improvements
hold on.
The end.
Okay, what do you like?
I would go for something like reasonable. Right?
Okay,
because
I like that.
You know, I don't know. All possible improvements.
Oh, no, I like reasonable. That's better. Reasonable efforts to improve its financial ability going forward.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of my concerns, and this is purely as a citizen, is that you may find people on the city council going forward who may not have a desire to close the golf course without a vote from the citizens, but you may find those that have been so ground down about the golf course over so long that they are happy to pick it apart one piece at a time. And I'm afraid that's where I would at least like something here to say, please, if you're going to be on the city council, we think at least it's a recommendation that you don't create a death by a thousand cuts situation in the golf course.
Is that referring specifically to like St. Andrew's Estates?
No, it's just referring to it could be anything. I think our water bill is too high. We should cut it by half. I think we have too many employees. We should cut them by this much. You could kill a golf course really bad. In the past, some of the opposition to the golf course has been very, you know, gleeful. You know, they'll find reports of closing golf courses and bad, you know, bad economic trends. And it seems like it feels like a win to some. And I don't want anyone to feel like a win for this golf course is to see it damaged in any way. And that it maybe is one step towards, it's like where I would say this is different, but where Rob said, well, the people in Highland would be so appalled at the idea of that land going to waste, you know, and weeds and whatever, that they may be motivated then to make changes. Well, someone could feel that exact same way about the golf course going forward. You know, if we just pick it apart, make it the obvious, you know, loser golf course in the world, then eventually we're going to get our way anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Reasonable works for me. Everybody agree with this statement as it is?
So,
should I read it one more time?
Yeah,
do you believe that for now, barring any significant change in economic status, the best course of action for the city council is to fully support and promote the golf course and make reasonable efforts to improve its financial viability going forward? Everybody agree with the wording of that statement? Do we feel like we have enough information to vote on that tonight? Okay, let's do it. Do you believe that for now, barring any significant change in economic status, the best course of action for the City Council is to fully support and promote the golf course and make reasonable efforts to improve its financial viability going forward? Brent Aaron.
Yes.
David Driggs.
Yes.
Gary Geege.
Yes.
Greg Gordon. Oh, sorry, Greg. Mark Horn.
Yes.
Mark Webb.
Yes.
Priscilla Leek voted yes. Rick Stewart, yes. Rob Crawley.
Yes.
Rob Olson.
Yes.
Trent Augustus.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a unanimous vote, again, 10. All right.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Based on that vote and that recommendation, can I bring up the suggestion I made to you regarding
yes,
this committee?
I forgot what it was, but please do it. I remember now.
It's my suggestion and my request that as long as the mayor is okay with this and the city council, that this committee stay intact and continue to meet on a regular basis, and we can determine what that is, especially as we go into the winter and with the golf course, you know, either slowing down or closing down for a few months, hibernating, that we continue to meet together and maybe meet with Greg and Wade and kind of continue the work we did 3 years ago where we came up with marketing plans and strategies that I think worked, and maybe allow this committee to continue to work on those things as we try to become or continue to be part of the solution to...
How often do you suggest, Rob?
I would say during the next several months, maybe, I don't know, every 6 weeks, every other month, maybe meet for a couple hours and just brainstorm and talk about, get some pizzas and just talk about pizza. How things are going and what we can do to support.
We haven't had any food yet in this committee.
I'll second that.
Pizza.
I mean, let's continue the good work,
especially the
work that we did.
Mayor?
BYOP?
At the same time, I like the idea that, you know, maybe every 6 weeks or so. I mean, I like you folks, but I really love my family, and I'm looking forward to getting a little more time with them here in the near future.
Well, and owning a seasonal business myself and understanding how it works, a lot of the retooling takes place in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And in the spring, summer, and fall, you don't tinker, right? You just implement right or wrong. You just do it because you're in the throes of the whole thing, and you just go forward. So I think there may be some value, if there's value to you guys,
where you guys need to weigh in on this.
Where we're happy. It's a lot more fun than this, not for at least less contentious. I'm happy to do that if anybody else is.
I think the most valuable time would be probably a couple of meetings in the wintertime as they're putting together their
you know, strategy and marketing plans for the following year is a time where the brainstorming could come forth. I don't know if during the golf season they want to be distracted, or our job is not to do any kind of micromanaging. So probably the
well, we would never micromanage.
No.
I think they understand that.
I think it's just a matter of getting together and again brainstorming, especially during the winter.
But the winter time would be when you're right, Rick. Would be when most of that would be helpful to them. I would assume.
I don't know how to answer.
Mayor, do you see value in that?
I don't know what to do going forward on that. Is that something, Mayor, that you think is a good idea?
Getting back together?
Yeah, putting the Beatles back together to help to do something positive for a change, I guess.
I always think more communication is better than less. I'm a little bit sensitive to how it's handled, because sometimes staff can feel that that they're doing a good job and that they're being micromanaged. So I would just say, if we choose to get back together and discuss recommendations, and include them, the director of golf, in terms of any discussion, so that he can feel like he's part of the process, as opposed to being told that maybe what he's doing is wrong and he needs to do something different. So my only recommendation would be to include him, include Greg.
Mayor, I think Greg would be the star of the show.
I was just at that point that the director of golf would lead that meeting, and we would be a tool to him as he would want to use us.
Absolutely. If it's handled that way, I think it's
good. Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, if it was like a board of if it was something that you had an interest in, if you were putting together a plan or doing something you wanted people to bounce information off of, that's easy to do too. I think it's up to you, really. I think most of us are willing to do that if you are interested. But honestly, if you're not interested, I'm not interested either.
We'll never turn away help.
Yeah.
We're always willing to listen. I don't know that it needs to be everybody. Maybe certain people don't want to be part of it. I think sometimes less is better. But just like last time, I think Rob brought it up. I think the suggestions that you recommended to us were great. And I think once implemented, you see the results today.
I do too. It was good.
And I think specifically, just as an example, we could take one night and just talk about tournaments for next year and networking, and maybe we have some in somewhere that might be of benefit. So,
all right. Well, I think that's something we can discuss, and we can work it up. But it's up. We'll see how that goes. All right. Let's go back to the vote again. Okay. Here we go again. This is the next question, and remember, the first question is: do we have enough information to make this vote yet? And then the vote itself. As a member of the Golf Course Finance Advisory Committee, do you feel you have been given enough time and opportunity to fully express your point of view, share your facts, and express your opinions? Do we feel like we have enough to answer that question today? Everybody feel good? All right, let's do it. As a member of the Golf Course Finance Advisory Committee, do you feel you have been given enough time and opportunity to fully express your point of view, share your facts, and express your opinions? Brent Aaron.
Yes.
David Driggs.
Yes.
Gary Gigi.
Yes.
Mark Horn.
Yes.
Mark Webb.
Yes.
Priscilla Leek votes yes. Rick Stewart votes yes. Rob Crawley.
Yes.
Rob Olson.
Yes.
Trent Augustus.
Yes.
Another unanimous vote. See, we're doing it.
You can start at the bottom next time. So.
All right. Okay. You want me to start at the bottom next time? So we don't, because
Brent doesn't have to vote first every time.
That's true. Brent, way to go, buddy. All right, we'll do it on this one.
Pressure's on Brent.
Okay, this is one we'll have to see. Again, first question is, do we have enough information to do this? But here we are. Even though you may agree or disagree with the conclusions and recommendations of this committee, do you believe that our treatment of the issue has been completely transparent, that the process has been honest, and that as best as we can ascertain, all financial and legal information presented in our final document is correct, and that nothing that we know of has been hidden or kept from the public?
Can we wait on this one?
That's the one I think we'll wait on until everybody's happy. At least we'll make an attempt to make everybody happy on this. Is there any wording in this that you would like to mess with before we move on? Do you want to hear it again?
That's a long one. Yeah, let's hear it again.
Even though you may agree or disagree with the conclusions and recommendations of this committee, Do you believe that our treatment of the issues has been completely transparent, that the process has been honest, and that as best as we can ascertain, all financial and legal information presented in our final document is correct, and that nothing that we know of has been hidden or kept from the public? Is that a fair question? And so what, everybody feels like that's a fair question? I would say let's make sure there's a lot of this we can vote on, we could vote on. What is the piece that's holding us back? That the financial information presented in the final document is correct, right?
Just this little thing we're working on, yeah.
That's it, and we're done with that. Okay, that's an important question.
I'm really hung up a little bit on one piece. And that
what do you got?
I guess I'll just be frank. I don't want to diss the committee in any way, but I do want to say that I viewed it differently than it kind of happened. I viewed that we would all look and see, is there any, we'd be all kind of working together on an option B to say, is there anything better? And I viewed that everyone would be kind of motivated the same to say, is there something better we can do with this? But in the end, it seemed like it was me trying to come up with an option B that would make sense without as much the help of everyone else, and everyone else just trying to shoot it down. That's how the process felt to me. Not everyone, but most people, just protecting the golf course rather than viewing it kind of as a pragmatic look to see, is there a way that we can do something better with this for the citizens as a whole? It felt like I was on the defensive the entire time rather than working together to say, is there something better? If there is, let's work together on it, you know, in the end vote on it. But that's just how I felt during the process. So
I don't disagree with what you're saying.
It didn't feel quite like pragmatic.
I don't disagree with what you're saying at all.
Yeah.
I do say that the process of the committee evolved as information became present. One of the first things I think we had was the legal discussion,
right,
which changed a lot. And I think it was this idea of viability.
Right.
I think it became increasingly like someone's, like Brent, where you say, Aaron,
yeah,
where you say, is it viable? And it may be viable. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's hard to say, I know that this plan is viable. It may be possible is kind of where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, viable means something else, too. It means, you know, can we as a committee, I think we almost decided too, Rob, without being in the planning commission, without having a plot plan, without having all this done, it became very difficult. What you tried to do in Plan B, I think we talked about throughout here, is that it was a good effort. And there's some interesting stuff you came up with, a good place to start. But that it isn't that kind of plot plan type process.
As we had discussed, there were answers that would be difficult to come to without being part of a planning commission or a planning committee for actually planning out city development. Short of doing that, it would be very difficult to get some very solid answers on certain things.
And most people felt like we didn't want to be in the situation of those past mayors and city councils where we start creating pie in the sky. Yeah, we could have an event center or we could have a pool or, you know, all of those things. It just seemed to become too difficult for the committee to do that.
And I will say that after I think it was the third meeting where we had both attorneys there and everything sounded like much harder than it was. Like, for instance, there was a $1.5 million amount that was thrown out there that it would cost in prepayment penalties that was presented as fact, which when we found out the facts later, it was there was a clause in there that said there's no penalty if you sell portions of the golf course and paid off. So I think a lot of our direction,
and I think that helped you with your Plan B, right?
Right, right. What I'm saying is there was a lot of misinformation even right at that point that really directed us away from looking at it as a viable option that we found out later was not true. It wasn't as onerous as it appeared legally at that point, but already the course of the committee, the direction the committee was taking had changed based on that information that was inaccurate. So it was a little bit of a tough process, it didn't go exactly how I expected, but I'm
sure it didn't go how
everyone expected it either. But so yeah. It's just really hard for me to answer that question with all those loaded statements in there. Maybe if you break it apart one at a time, I might say yes.
Well, let's see what they are. Go ahead.
Can I weigh in on this?
Yeah.
So when I got on the committee, I really came
you know, our first meetings were talking about what it would be better. Is there anything better? What would be best? I don't think that ever clearly got defined. What would be better? I think that it became all about numbers. You know, even your focus was always about the numbers in large measure.
Right.
And given your background, that's, you know, that you're kind of a numbers person, right? And I think when we had the legal review, started digging into the issues, you know, I was originally trying to think of some other things we could do, you know, trying to put my creative hat on. And as we dug into it deeper, the more and more I learned, I felt like there really wasn't a lot of wiggle room to do much. I think the document we created speaks to that. And that's all I'm going
to
say.
You know, to me, if I was going to make a plan B in the end of this, that's the difference. It got discussed. Mm-hmm. To me, the plan B is what Salt Lake City is doing with its reconfiguration of its two golf courses. I looked at what your plan says, and I think you've made, from what we've learned, we gathered a lot of information, and from that, you know, we were able to say, well, if we're going to build houses, we can only build them here.
Right.
If we're going to sell land, we can only sell this land. The legal information that came in kind of says, well, if we mess with this, we're really going to get hit. And so you kind of have that. The idea of, yes, we could look at and say, well, should we build, you know, a cemetery on hole 10, or should we build something else there? You know, you could look at things like that. But I think the city had gotten to the point where we said, I don't know if we want to start making those kind of recommendations. I get you. I can see that.
And I just wanted to explain that. That's a hard question.
Well, let's see. What's the problem?
Well, Rick, let me just weigh in real fast as well. And just be honest and say, my opinion this go-around, I think I began formulating that opinion during our second meeting. Because, you know, I was on the committee 3 years ago, and I've brought this up before. That committee had a purpose, and we had a plan going forward, and we executed that plan. And 3 years later, when Cheryl presented the numbers, in that meeting, I began to say, you know what? What we did 3 years ago was positive, and we're moving in the right direction. Then we started down the legal, you know, looking at the legal aspects and then the social aspects of it. But, you know, honestly, from the get-go, I started formulating an opinion as to why we were going down this road. And we let the process play out, and tonight we voted on it. But, yeah, honestly, from the get-go, based on fact and not just based on a perceived bias by some, but some of us had the experience 3 years ago of sitting on a committee and hashing things out behind closed doors, and as we talked about last week, it was bloody sometimes, but we came out of it, I think, in a very positive way, and I think you would agree, Rob, that it was fair and balanced. Mm-hmm. And that's why this go-around, you know, I came in looking at a potential option, but from the get-go, I could see that, again, based on what happened 3 years ago, we were moving in the right direction. So that helped me formulate an opinion up front, but then everything else kind of fell into place where I thought, no, it's not viable. And that's why I voted the way
I did. It seemed like a box of snakes. And you know that it is in some ways. If we really are motivated to do it, but you have to admit that through the process, you realize how contentious and how it's a battering issue. I mean, it's not a pleasant walk through the city. It is an ugly, contentious fight, and there would have to be a compelling reason to do it. Right. And so I don't know. I'm happy. I guess I don't see, other than to say Salt Lake City has a really good plan B. Their plan B is to take all this wonderful land and reimagine it and say, well, okay, well, instead of a golf course, I think I'd like tennis courts here, and I would like big park spaces here and some neat things. And you could redevelop that whole property, and you could preserve the green space, and you could provide all the wonderful things that people really like. And if you said, well, the golf course is a great thing, fine thing, but maybe there's some better use of that land for the city, that's more compelling to me than selling it off to developers, abandoning it to a farmer for 9 holes, and then kind of developing just a small amount of space around the Cedars, mostly to keep them happy, because none of them are asking for a park. I don't think anybody in the Cedars is going, we want parks in that space. So it isn't for them. People have to drive by 3 parks to get to those parks. So that's it. So if we're going to redevelop and make a plan B, the problem with that is it's an enormous amount of money. And that's it. Otherwise, I look at this plan B and saying, yes, I think we can create a Frankenstein plan B that costs the city less money. But I would never look at this land as a blank slate and create that for this city. So that's the problem. For me, it would be hard for me to go through and say, as a thought game, let's figure out how to do this cheaper. I don't know that that's our goal. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just saying that.
All right, well, let's look at the question then.
It'll be hard for me to say yes.
Well, then let's look at what you disagree with in the question and change it if we have to. Even though you may agree or disagree with the conclusions and recommendation of this committee, do you believe that our treatment of the issues has been completely transparent? Have we hidden anything? There were things that you discovered, that we discovered, mm-hmm. that could have been hidden if we didn't stick to and discover. And once it's there, that information is out for everybody to see and done, right? Is there anything we're hiding?
Rick, could that be one question right there and leave and
we can make
put
this
the rest of it into another question?
Yeah, I don't think it needs to, but it can be. But how do you feel about, is that a fair question that you feel like you can answer?
Yes.
Okay. Two. That process, do you believe the process has been honest? And that as best as we can ascertain, all financial and legal information presented in our final document is correct? Okay? So we're saying, is anyone a dishonest dealer here? Is someone throwing a monkey wrench in the works and specifically putting out bad financial numbers to this committee? Is that a situation you can think? Is that what that means to you, or does that mean something else to you? Does that mean, hey, I wanted to talk about something else and we ended up talking about this, and so I don't feel like it was honest? Does it mean that to you? To me, it just means, has there been anybody corrupt?
Yeah. Okay. I'm good with
okay.
that.
Okay.
We could just say, are the financials presented honest that we've uncovered and presented?
I can change the wordage.
And that's kind of hit on the one that we were hanging on
to. But you haven't finished. The problem is we haven't finished the financials yet.
Oh, okay.
And that as we ascertain all financial and legal information, I put both together. Okay, I just didn't need to do it over and over. Presented in our final document is correct. And nothing we know of, again, just like you're saying again, something could be missed, has been hidden or kept from the public. That's all we're saying. Is anybody lying about the finances? Is anybody lying about the legal? You may not agree with our final conclusions, but the data that we're all making those conclusions on is transparent and true.
Maybe this is one that could be saved for after the whole document's done also.
Okay, but that you're fine with that question then, right? Mm-hmm. But after. All right, finally, we'll see if we can do this one. Do you agree with the conclusions of our final document and endorse its recommendations to the City Council? Do we feel like we can vote on that one tonight, or do you feel like we have to wait on that one? I'll read it again. Do you agree with the conclusions of our final document and endorse its recommendations to the City Council? Do we need to look at those again?
Yeah, I'm just looking through.
We've already voted to endorse it.
So it's done. Well, when did
we already voted to endorse it.
So that was redundant and it's done.
It's a redundant question.
All right, it's done. Okay, so all we have left then is this question about, was the process honest? Is the financial and legal information presented correct? But in that statement, we are not saying we agree or disagree with the conclusions or recommendations of the committee. Okay?
Just saying it's a fair process.
It's a fair process. Like the conclusions or not. Everybody's good with that question? Mark Horn, are you good with that question?
Yeah.
You're all good? Rob, are you good with that question?
Yes.
Okay. Mark, everybody, no problems. But we're going to wait till that document is done to do it. Okay, everybody, thank you for all your time tonight. We were going to close at 9:30.
Can I have a second?
Oh, please, go ahead.
A couple housekeeping things.
Yes, go ahead.
There's a lot of public interest in the outcome of this evening's activities, and a lot of people ask, when can I see the report? When can I get my hands on it? I would suggest that I have some clerical, typo things and a sentence here and there to fix, which I can accomplish this evening or by tomorrow. I would suggest that we publish this without page 13. Once page 13 is done, we'll put it in. So the sooner this group gets page 13 done, the sooner page 13 will be in the document.
Yes, however, we cannot publish it until the conclusion of our next council meeting.
Okay.
Why is that?
And reason for that is because for some reason that I don't understand, back in 2012, then staff made a recommendation to repeal the golf course committee that was created 10 years ago and didn't reconstitute the next one. That's my interpretation. So we need to go to our next council meeting and formalize this golf course committee as opposed to the one that was created 10 years ago and ratify what you guys have done tonight. So you can't publish anything until that's done.
When is that next meeting?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
There is one more housekeeping idea, and that is we have talked about having a town hall meeting on the 28th of this month. Do we feel like we can still proceed with a town hall meeting by the 28th of this month? Everybody agree?
Yeah.
What's our time on that meeting?
I think 7 p.m.
7 p.m., and that's a Wednesday or Thursday?
It's a Wednesday.
Awesome.
Which day are you talking about?
The 28th of October. In this room?
Yes. So I would remind the committee that this document is not a public document.
Yes.
It doesn't belong on the internet, blogs, Facebook, email, right? Until 4 hours after Tuesday. We'll publish it, I presume, after Tuesday. We'll have it on the website. People can download it. It's a 26 meg file, so it's not easily emailed around, but you can download it as a PDF.
Do we include the questions in this document with the votes? The ones we just voted on?
Yes.
Because those are really the formal.
They are the formal. They are formal votes. They need to be in there. And I really want, I'm trying to think of how to, this final vote is important to me. It's a vote that I want a unanimous yes on. I don't want anybody to walk away from this committee saying it was dishonest. You can say it was contentious. You can say it was biased. You can say all kinds of things if you need to, but you can't say it's dishonest. And if you can, then we have to address
why don't
it.
Bias
is a hard word.
Why don't you ask it that way and ask it now instead of the way you've worded it?
Is that him? Sorry, weren't you guys saying
that
something?
Okay.
I
mean, why don't you ask it that way? Just the question. You said the long sentence about
all right.
Documents and legal and. Why don't you ask the question of, do you feel that this committee
has been fair and transparent?
Has been honest. The members have been honest.
I think I can ask that question, but I also want the financial information to be ratified.
But I don't think you can do that until the things.
Is that important? Actually, you know what? Let's ask that question to the committee. Is it important? We can make this question that just talks about is are we being honest? Are we being fair? Have we been transparent? And as far as but do you feel it's important in here for the financial numbers in this document to be? Is there going to be someone somewhere who feels that they are not honest? And so we need to have this in the statement somewhere. Those who think that is the case, and we need to make sure the financial. That everyone agrees with the exact wording of the financial documents on page.
I go back. I mean, I could be wrong. I predict these four will be incapable of coming up with the number they all agree on.
I think you are absolutely wrong.
I'm hoping wrong. I'm putting the challenge out.
We
there,
did
right?
Last time.
I've laid down
the
gauntlet.
I think it's a slam dunk.
We can do it.
Consensus on some of the questions.
I think it's a slam dunk. So shall we wait? Is that an important? Yeah.
I have one issue. I mean, that's
not waiting.
There are in the document, in the appendix. There
okay.
Are lots of financial numbers. All of Plan B's. All of Plan B's.
That's true.
Spreadsheets are in there, right? And I don't know if we necessarily.
That's true.
I'm not sure I would endorse those if we're kind of endorsing.
I guess you're right.
All the numbers in the document.
But I'm happy enough with Rob's good faith effort to say that there's a rhyme to, there's a reason and a rhyme to what he's done, and I wouldn't dispute his numbers. How do you feel,
know,
Rob?
He did a lot of work on it. He did the best estimating he can, right? Some of them we thought were good projections. Some I have issue with, but I can't. I mean, so when we just because there are lots of numbers in this report, a sweeping
true.
Statement that we endorse all of them is tough for me.
I see what you're saying. So what statement can we say that satisfies this? Because I will say this, I do not believe we can agree on conclusions drawn from those numbers. I don't think we need to or can.
Could we vote on whether or not the committee members made honest efforts to present the information that they were able to find?
I can see that.
I'm just saying, do we believe that the members presented the information that they – do they honestly try to present what they knew? I don't know. Somebody could phrase it better than me.
You could even say something to the effect that maybe you don't necessarily agree with the numbers, but they were presented in a manner that was transparent and forthright by the person that created it.
With a level of integrity.
There was no intent to deceive by anyone.
That's good, too.
Do you agree with those words? Does that solve the problem or satisfy Mayor Gigi in your situation? You've been down this road before.
I'm good.
Okay, so let's try it. Let's take a stab at this. Even though you may agree or disagree with the conclusions and recommendations of this committee, do you believe that our treatment of the issues has been completely transparent? That can stay as it is. Everybody agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That the process has been honest. Do you want to change that wording there? That the committee members have been honest in their efforts.
There's been no effort to deceive.
Okay, that there has been no effort
to deceive by a member of the committee.
That there has been no effort to deceive and as best as we can ascertain, all financial and legal information presented in our final document is correct? Can't say that?
No.
No, but I don't know that we need to, as long as you've said that people...
If the numbers are honest...
...have not made an effort to deceive anybody, then it's just an honest mistake, right?
Okay. Like, that there has been no effort to deceive as we ascertain financial and legal information... No effort to deceive in the...
Presentation of the financial...
Yes, I love it. In the...
I'm still awake down there.
Presentation...
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock. My brain is shutting off.
Of the... Knock it off, you guys. What, you get tough. Of the financial and legal information... Okay, let's try this now. Even though you may agree or disagree with the conclusions and recommendations of this committee, do you believe that our treatment of the issues has been completely transparent, that there has been no effort to deceive in the presentation of the financial and legal information presented, and that nothing we know of has been hidden or kept from the public?
I can vote on that.
That's can good. You vote on that? Mark?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Everybody?
Read it one more time.
Man, heaven help me. I'm going to try.
It sounds like I can vote on that.
Okay, let's try it one more time. Even though you may agree or disagree with the conclusions and recommendations of this committee, do you believe that our treatment of the issues has been completely transparent, that there has been no effort to deceive in the presentation of the financial and legal information presented, and that nothing we know of has been hidden or kept from the public? Weird? Nothing we know of? You okay with that? All right, let's try it. Here we go. Now, can I do it twice the same way? Even though you may agree or disagree with the conclusions and recommendations of this committee, do you believe that our treatment of the issues has been completely transparent, that there has been no effort to deceive in the presentation of the financial and legal information presented, and that nothing we know of has been hidden or kept from the public? Brent Aaron.
Yes.
Is that yes?
Is that yes? I believe that it's transparent. I believe that it's honest. Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes, you're right. I wasn't sure.
I was a little worried there for a minute.
Yeah. No, so either.
Yes, all right. I believe it was honest and transparent.
Can I just say that? Do we believe the process has been honest and transparent?
I have no qualms.
All right, we're okay.
It's easy for you to say.
All right, here we go. You guys heard it. David Bunker. No, sorry. David Driggs.
Yes.
I'll go from the bottom now. Trent Augustus.
Yes.
Rob Olson.
Yes.
Rob Crawley.
Yes.
Rick Stewart. Yes. Priscilla Leek. Yes. Mark Webb.
Yes.
Mark Horn.
Yes.
Gary Gigi.
Yes.
Unanimous 10. Okay. Well, I will thank everyone for putting in the extra time today to make this committee a success. I think there is a lot for the city here. I think we've done a good job. I think that we can hold our heads up high as we present our information to the public in our town hall meeting. Everybody feel good about that? Then I propose that we close this meeting. Anybody second?
I'll second it.
Aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. We are done.
Thank you.
Thank you.